All right, what's going on, everyone out there on the interwebs? It's Jeremy, aka NES Ruler 22, and welcome to episode number 9 of the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast. Once again, I am your host, NES Ruler 22, and of course, I am joined as always by my co-host, JP, aka Double Shot J, and the man himself, Mood 616. We've got a full show for you guys tonight. We'll be starting off, of course, with the news like we do every week now. Then we'll be going into the question, which are your 5 favorite franchises. And then we'll be hopping into a mood swings segment and then talking about what we watched. So we're only going to be doing 2 films plus the pick of the week this week because I have not watched as many movies as Mr. Moods has watched. And then we're going to be hopping into a discussion on Ty West's House of the Devil. So go ahead, JP, with the news.
All right, guys, there's not a whole lot of news this week. It's been pretty dead around here. First up, we have, Vera Farmiga, who played, one of the characters in The Conjuring. She was, like, the female ghost hunter. She was asked about The Conjuring 2, and she's basically saying that, they're pretty much waiting on James Wan. The studios just are waiting to see if he's gonna come back and be on board. So, I guess it's kind of at a standstill right now.
So they're not going to go forward with it if James Wan doesn't agree to do
see,
it?
See, I was wondering that, and I highly doubt that would be the case, considering they see dollar signs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as for The Conjuring was quite a success. I think that
it was a huge success.
I think obviously, if James Wan doesn't return, I don't think the second one will make as much money, just based on that alone, because, I don't know, people follow...
Well... I don't know. I think it'll make just as much money, if not more. I just think that it won't be as solid of a film. We all see how these big hitters go. Paranormal Activity came out. Paranormal Activity 2, you know, breaks records. Saw comes out. Everybody loves it. Saw 2 comes out. A lesser film, not done by James Wan. That's a perfect example, right? I mean, Saw 2 wasn't done by James Wan. And people in it, and it does better than the first film.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there is exceptions. I always thought it would have been curious to find out how Wrong Turn 2 would have done in theaters. You know, it is such a solid sequel, right?
I think that it would have done bad, actually. I think it would have done good first week, and I think it would... I don't think Wrong Turn 2 is a film that the mainstream would, grab
but
onto,
how,
really.
The first movie actually did make money in the theaters, though, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was a pretty well received film in the theaters and critically.
It's quite interesting that the second one never got a theatrical release, just based on that alone.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. So Conjuring 2, you know, I like the idea. I mean, there's plenty more stories to tell. I'd be especially down if James Wan returns, because I think it's one of those situations where he adds. It's not just a film that he made. Like, he adds a lot to the film. I mean, sometimes you can get away with switching directors and you really, you know, but there's so much of him in that film that you can't really do a sequel that's going to feel the same without him.
I think based on the storyline or the potential storyline for The Conjuring 2, I think switching directors actually probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because, you know, The Conjuring itself is more, you know, it's a, you know, a ghost kind of, you know, like the way we know what the film is, but the second one is supposed to follow. I think it's from like the doll.
Is no, 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 no. You're thinking of a different, you're thinking of the other thing that we'll get to in a second. The Conjuring 2 is going to be, you know, big budgeted, continue the two investigators doing another investigation.
It's another one of their
stories from the actual, you know, documents that they collected over the years. It's just another one of their stories that they were involved in.
Oh, okay.
It was set up at the end of the film to be the Amityville case, but I don't think I think they said that they wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else on that?
No, I think I was just getting myself confused.
Okay.
Brain's on overload, Matt. I think I'm just thinking of too many things at one time.
I find it interesting that you don't think that you think it could be, you know, that it'd be cool without James Wan.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, if you're going to use the same, you know, paranormal investigators with a totally different I mean, I don't know. I guess this depends on what the story is, though, too.
It does. It kind of does.
If you want to have like a real kind of real creepy kind of slow paced film, you know, the way James Wan kind of does his films. I mean, that works. But if you want to go for something, who knows, maybe just totally will work having a totally different director in a different direction. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think as long as you get somebody talented, this story could continue and be successful.
Yeah.
So moving on, we have a company called Ketchup Entertainment, which I'm unfamiliar with. They have got the U.S. distribution rights for a film called Wolves. It's about a high school student who witnesses a murder of his parents and finds himself turning into a savage wolf. He's, you know, thrust into the world of wolves, I guess, werewolves. It's supposed to be released this summer. I don't know. Like I said, it's been dead this week for news, so we have another werewolf movie in the works, and it's picked up by Ketchup Entertainment.
Who the hell that is?
Yeah. Ketchup Entertainment. That just sounds funny.
Yeah. Then up next we have Vin Diesel. He said he was, you know, he said a quote or something where he basically says Universal was pretty happy with Riddick. It had, you know, good DVD, you know, really good DVD sales. And they're thinking about doing another one. You guys familiar with the Riddick franchise?
Pitch Black and all those.
Yeah. I've seen Pitch Black. I thought it was pretty cool. A little too action-y for my taste. And I think it had good elements, but just I would have liked it more dark and more, you know, horror-ish.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of ironic that you said you wanted it more dark and the movie's called Pitch Black.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just makes me laugh. But, yeah, you know, honestly, I wasn't a big fan of the movie. I never checked out the sequel, so I don't know. It didn't work for me. Then again, I did see it when it came out, so who knows? I might like it more now. It's one of those things, I guess. But
next up, we have now. This is the one that you meant to talk about. this is the one that you was thinking of. It's called Annabelle, and this is a. The spinoff to The Conjuring. So they're doing a sequel to The Conjuring and a spinoff. Annabelle is about the doll that we're introduced to in the beginning of the first film. You know, the doll that, you know, terrorized the family or whatever. That's going to be a much lower budget film. And it has started filming. So that's, you know, actually happening. I think we talked about this before. I think we all said that it could be cool.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting, the spinoff about the doll. That's what I was kind of thinking. And that's where I found that, you know, if that actually was a sequel to The Conjuring, I think that could work with a different director because it just, it's a different angle, right? So
yeah, well, I believe he stated that the cinematographer from The Conjuring is going to be directing that film.
Okay.
Whatever you said.
Yeah, I actually cut out quite a bit.
I kind of
yes.
Yep.
I said from I think we actually stated that the guy who was the cinematographer in The Conjuring is actually going to be directing the Annabelle movie. I think we said that before it was announced.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because we commented on, well, at least if the story epically fails, at least it'll probably have nice cinematography.
After that, I guess whichever number Resident Evil we're on was supposed to happen, and it's, you know, they're still very much interested in doing it, but the wheels aren't quite in motion yet, is actually a direct quote from Anderson, who is the creator. So it's probably, you know, there's no script right now, so Resident Evil 6 is on hold.
Oh, man. I can honestly say that I haven't seen past the first one.
Really? I was a huge fan of the games growing up. 1998, I remember playing it on the PlayStation, the first game. Scariest game ever made, in my opinion. I've never been scared in a game
besides
that.
Play Dead Space. It's good.
Fuck, nah, I'm good.
Telling you.
Resident Evil. But yeah, I mean, the films, man, you know, I wanted to like them for the longest time, and I did like them as they came out. And they can still be fun in that guilt or guilty pleasure type of way, but they're pretty bad, actually. They're pretty bad movies. They're
CGI
just
is really bad.
CGI zombies, way too actiony. The story is so far away from what Resident Evil is. But they still can be fun at the same time. So yeah, no, nobody has anything else to say about Resident Evil, I guess.
I actually really can't. I don't really know a lot about them. I never played the games. I don't know. I just don't have a lot to say.
The games are
I mean,
fantastic. The
mostly,
first couple.
I mean, most of the things I've heard about the Resident Evil movies is that they seem to be getting progressively worse. Is that true?
But
I
they
like the
still,
second one
I
better
haven't
than the
actually
first one.
seen them because I've only seen one, two, and three, which I thought two was, like, two was the
Yeah,
best.
two is the best. Yeah.
Two is the best. Okay.
But they make money. Like, it seems like it's a mainstream crowd pleaser. It seems that the mainstream
Yeah.
audiences still seem to like them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. I mean, they're obviously doing something right if they're on their sixth one, you know.
Next up, Return to Nukem High Volume 1 is hitting
Oh,
Blu-ray
man.
and DVD.
I am so fucking excited for this
Now, what
because.
is this? Because I don't even know what it is. Is this like a new movie or is it like a.
No.
No. Return to Nukem High is the fourth one in the series. There's
I've
three
already
cla
seen it, so I'm not going to say anything.
there's three Class of Nukem High films, and then this one is the fourth one, which is called Return to Nukem High. So, and
But
I'm
why
not
is it called
entirely.
Volume 1? Or is there a
I don't
Volume
know.
2?
I actually don't know, and I didn't even realize until about 2 weeks ago.
Because they're making a Volume 2.
Like, is it just the second part of the film, or is it
Yeah.
actually a sequel to
I
it?
think it's just the second part.
Okay, so it's kind of like Kill Bill. It was probably one big ass fucking movie that got cut into two films or something. But okay, that's what it is. But I'm really excited. It's of course directed by Lloyd Kaufman, so and I'm a huge fan of the first. I mean, the films. I mean, the third one's not very good, but I don't know. They're enjoyable.
Well, now I'm completely unfamiliar. I'm like a complete amateur at the trauma films catalog. Is this related to the Toxic Avenger?
No, it's his
No.
own little series. No.
Okay. So there's three Nukem High films, and this is the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is the fourth one, Volume 1. So. Will
So
the next one be considered the fourth one, volume two, or the fifth movie?
I guess it depends on how you look at it, but either or, you know.
right. Well, this is hitting March 18th. I like the cover. It looks pretty goddamn badass. And
Jeremy, where did you see the film?
the Music Box Theater in downtown Chicago. Lloyd Kaufman was there with the
When did they
film.
Did you have to sign a non-disclosure?
No, it wasn't like a special screening. He's taking the movie all over. He's in the foreign land of Canada right now in Toronto showing it.
The foreign land of Canada, you mean?
Canada.
God damn it,
But
man.
okay,
See, this is
so
this
good,
that's
bad. What? It's
that's
fun. It's a batshit crazy fun movie.
I heard that this one was going to be real nuts, so
It's
I'm really
fun.
excited to hear
It's
that.
fun. I've only seen a handful of trauma films, and the way that I always can, get a feel for the quality of it is compared to Poltergeist, which is the one that I've seen and the one that I most know. Is it, around that level or worse or better?
It's cheesy. It's fucking.
It's probably more on the lines of like a Terror Firmer or like kind of crazy like that. I mean,
Yep,
Poltergeist is
tonight he's in Toronto, Canada.
nice.
So you missed out. You're
That's
on the wrong side.
that I totally am because Toronto gets all the those type of premieres. Vancouver gets nothing, so real shitty.
I like Poltergeist a lot.
Poltergeist is a different type of film because it's like more of a musical, but it's
Yeah.
like gory as fuck. It's
I
like,
thought it was really funny, man.
yeah, it's actually. I think the
It's
the thing I love
probably
about
my favorite trauma film. I've only seen about three, so.
I love all the fast food name references in that movie.
Oh yeah, that's
If they
great.
ever
Yeah.
fuck, if it was ever funny, man. Thought they did a great job with that. So good, but.
Anyway, Return to Nukem High, Volume 1. is standard retail price, or suggested retail price, is $24.99. I'm sure you could get it cheaper than that. And yeah, it looks like it has a bunch of commentaries and stuff. And from the picture, it shows that the Blu-ray case is green, which would be awesome if that's true.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that actually makes sense if it's green.
Yeah. So. And pretty much finally for the news this week is our good old pals at Scream Factory announcing another title. Weird announcement. I honestly, this is like, if I had 100 guesses and you told me it was a killer animal movie, I would probably still not guess Lake Placid.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, dude. When I saw the announcement for Lake Placid, I literally stared at it for a minute. I couldn't comprehend why they were releasing Lake Placid. I don't get the... And I hope they're not trying to go down this road and just trying to capitalize on, you know, these type of movies. Like, I wish they would... I don't know, man. Like, I like Lake Placid. I think it's a decent film. But I don't know if it needs, like, a Scream Factory treatment. It's not something that was really kind of looking forward to. It's probably the first time I've seen an announcement and went, I'm not really overly excited for that.
The reason... Well, all right, two things. The reason that, to me, it feels, like, out of place is because Scream Factory either does the retro stuff that, you know, was popular, or the newer stuff that was unpopular. This film was kind of mainstream. It's like the first, like, newer main, like, it's not so newer. It's 1999, but like, it was kind of a mainstream film at that. I remember it being kind of like a bigger film.
Yeah.
And it's just like an odd one.
Yeah. I think that's totally what it is. It's because it is more of a mainstream, like, mainstream film, you know?
Yeah.
People know about this one.
But secondly, at first I was like, huh. But then after I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? I think a cool Lake Placid release could be kind of neat. I'm down with it. I like it.
Yeah, I'm still kind of torn on it. I mean, I just don't feel the need to have to upgrade my DVD to the Blu-ray, but it is Scream Factory, so I have to do it because I've been collecting them all. But I don't know. I'm really kind of, wow. It's just such an odd choice for them, but
it is really, really odd. I just literally picked up the DVD in my last update. So
don't you fucking love that when you pick up a DVD and all of a sudden a Blu-ray announcement comes out and you're like, oh Jesus, man,
dude. But I wonder if they're gonna release Lake Placid versus Anaconda when it comes out.
is that one of those sci-fi exclusive films?
It's one. Probably.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I know that Part 4 was what Robert Englund was a sci-fi original.
Awesome. Awesome. That movie just sounds... I don't even know what to... like.
Dude. They literally called Lake Placid 4 the final chapter. They did that.
Lake Placid 5.
There's actually going to be a Lake Placid 5, or that is considered the fifth one?
Well, what's considered the fifth one is the Lake Placid versus Anaconda. I would think so.
Man, that is just like the weirdest thing.
It is, because it doesn't make any sense. Also, this is another piece of news that I totally, like, blanked on. I forgot to write it down. I seen it this morning and had to start recording as soon as I got home from work. Sharknado 2, I guess, is a go. Like, it's filming or something. So, that's happening. It's Sharknado. Called Sharknado 2, the second one.
Sharknado versus Shark Hurricano. That's a totally awesome title.
Oh, it's just so bad. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if it's actually true, but the Sharkano one, the sharks coming out of volcanoes.
Is that a real thing?
I think it's a book, Moods. I don't think it's...
Really? I could have sworn I heard someone say that they were actually considering making that into a film. I don't know. Maybe quickly look it up. But as soon as I heard the title Sharkano, I actually burst into tears.
It came out on January 24th.
That's even worse that someone
wrote 420 pages. It's written by the guy who's always with What Movie Won in his fucking Out and Above videos.
But you know what? that movie is totally, or that book is going to be made into a film. You know, how could you?
This guy also wrote fucking Mega Shark versus, what is it? Mega Shark versus the one that just came out.
I don't know. There's
Sharknado
so many.
2 is filming in January.
So last month. Nice.
Or I mean February. My bad. Sorry. This month. Filming this month.
Well, that's, you know, honestly, man.
And Tara Reid is in it. Was she? I heard she was in the first one too.
You haven't seen Sharknado?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark.
That's okay. Yeah, totally.
It's directed by the guy who did a fucking. It's Sharkano is written by the guy who directed fucking The Haunting of Whaley House.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, and I think Cool Duder was in that movie too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It for the news, by the way.
Sharknado, you got to see it, man. It's so bad, it's good. It's got some of the most ridiculous scenes I've ever seen in a film before. Tara Reid is coming back for the sequel.
Yeah, that's what it says.
What about Steve from 90210? There, fucking Ian Ziering.
Yeah, that guy's back too. I just didn't know that guy's name, so I didn't share that information.
Dude, they're reprising okay, I'm totally excited for this. I love when people reprise the roles in like unnecessary sequels and stuff.
I can't believe that it's called Sharknado 2, the second one. How funny is that?
Yeah, the second one is completely unneeded. I think the 2 itself is self-explanatory. What the fuck? Okay, man. So that's it for the news?
Yeah, that's it for the news.
All right.
So are we going to hop into our question, or do you want to do mood swings first?
The question is like part of mood swings, right?
Kind
of.
Yeah, so we'll get into the answers from last week. So the last week's question was your top 5 horror franchises, your personal top 5 horror franchises. You know what? I guess I could probably read off the people that actually answered the question in my comments section here. I'll get it.
Yeah, I normally write them down, but I totally didn't have time today.
I actually brought it up here, so just in case. But okay, perfect. So HorrorGamer776, his top 5 franchises of all time. Number 5, the Leprechaun series. That just brought a smile to JP's face.
It honestly did. When I seen that, I was like, even I seen honorable mentions for Leprechaun himself, I'm like, wow, these guys are showing love for Leprechaun. How awesome is that? I honestly did not expect Leprechaun to show up at all.
Shows up on my list.
Wow.
Does it? Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. So number 4, the Alien franchise. Number 3, Halloween franchise. Number 2, Friday the 13th. And at number 1 for HorrorGamer776, the Evil Dead franchise. Very interesting choices. I was very curious on people's choices for this because there's just so many franchises and yeah. All right. Emperor Corndog. My homie Emperor Corndog. Love the name.
Really like Emperor Corndog's name.
Yeah, he's cool. All right, so number 5, he's got the Halloween franchise. Number 4, Friday the 13th. Number 3, Alien franchise. In at number 2, Phantasm. Awesome. And at number 1, he's got a Nightmare on Elm Street. That's fantastic.
You know, I always love people who love the Elm Street series. I think it's so cool when that's people's favorite franchises. Mm-hmm.
All right, so Martin VP, he likes to answer all these questions. Big ups to Martin VP. All right, so number 5, the Planet of the Apes franchise. Now, that was one I never even wrote in this huge-ass fucking list of horror franchises because I think
that
Planet of the Apes...
Is that horror even?
I guess it's more like... I think it's sci-fi,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it's sci-fi.
I mean, it's close enough. I'm just... I never seen any of that. Not
yeah.
one of the Apes
film. It literally didn't even cross my mind.
Oh, yeah, the newest one.
It literally didn't even cross my mind when I was writing down franchises, but that's interesting. Number 4, Halloween franchise. Number 3, the Ringu franchise, which is obviously referring to the to the Asian franchise, which I believe there's like six films in that now, five or six.
Yeah, there's a lot. I seen a list of them one day. I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of Ring films.
Yeah, it's crazy. Number two, the Evil Dead franchise. And at number one, he's got the George A. Romero Dead franchise. All right, so those are actually really cool choices too. And everyone's lists are very different here. And then who else do we got here? Steve Clark. He's another guy that likes to answer all these ones. Number five, Saw franchise.
I was very surprised to see Saw on a – I did not expect to see Saw a few times, you know?
Yeah. Number four, the Scream franchise.
Props to you, dude. I like that guy. Scream doesn't get enough love.
Well, this is the reason why you like him. In at number three, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Cool.
Number two, the Halloween franchise. And at number one, Friday the 13th. Just going to scroll. Make sure that I didn't miss anybody here. And, of course, our buddy Zach, also known as Movie Collector 666. This time he did not do a top six. He actually did a top five.
What are you doing, Zach?
Come on, Zach. Where's your top? Come on, man. Where's your top sick? I like to say the top sick list. But in at number five, the Saw franchise. Now, this really did surprise me that he wrote
Coming from Zach, it surprised me a lot, too. I had no idea he was such a fan of that series.
I had no idea either. Number four, Halloween. That was another one that kind of surprised me, actually. Number three, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise, that was not a surprise to me. This was also not a surprise because I've heard him talk very, you know, highly about this one. And The Omen in at number two.
I really need to watch those Omen films, huh?
You know, it's actually not a bad, you know, the first three, the fourth one is, it's really weird.
Is that the TV movie one?
Yeah, it's like it's like a girl in it. It's really weird. And at number one, his favorite franchise of all time is the Psycho franchise. Very, very fucking cool.
Good choice. Good choice.
Indeed. Good choice.
All right. So that's going to do it for everybody that commented. I hope I didn't miss anybody. I don't think I did.
Really? It feels like you did. Maybe you didn't, though.
No, I think that's everybody. No, David did not do a top five list. So that
Dave didn't do the top five list on our last list either.
No.
Come on, Dave, get your shit together, man.
He puts in huge comments, but I don't know, maybe just not a list person, you know.
Before we go, yeah, Dave, I love reading his comment. I love getting the feedback of what he thought of the show and stuff. Keep that up, man. But before we move on to our top five franchises, I just want to say that the film we're going to be reviewing tonight is House of the Devil, and I have a new, brand new sealed copy of House of the Devil on DVD that I'm going to send to one of the people who are answering these questions. Next, everybody who's entered, you know, answered a question so far will be included in the drawing, plus anybody who answers the question from this week.
Well, there you go.
There is a question this week, right?
Yes, there is a question.
Okay.
And it's actually pertaining to the next week's main review that we're doing. So.
Okay, cool.
Anybody want to start with their top five list?
Sure, I'll go first. Number five, we got the Leprechaun series.
I gotta say, Jeremy, I am so surprised. I've talked about these films, like how much I like these films, and I never knew that you liked them also.
Oh yeah, like they're come on, it has a little guy. Fucking, you know my opinion on Chucky, man. They're fun.
Much respect, bro.
They're fun movies. Number four, I'm gonna have to give it to Phantasm, man. Last week.
Really?
My eyes
that
on
even
Phantasm.
Surprises me more.
I like those movies. They were fucking fun. I like them a lot. Number three, I'm going to give it to Friday the 13th. Number two, Halloween. And number one, Child's Play.
So really, Halloween, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Besides Resurrection, of course.
Yeah, well, it has to be included. That just takes it down a notch, but gotta include the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Moods, you go this time.
All right. So my number five pick for my favorite horror franchises, number five is Phantasm. I've always stated that it's one of the strongest franchises out there. Yep. Obviously, due to how many films are in it also, but you know, yeah, besides the point, it's a great
franchise. More films that there are, the more chances that there's going to be a dud.
Yep.
Exactly.
Resurrection.
Resurrection is such a fucking
exactly
bad.
Perfect example.
So at number four, we've got the Psycho franchise. I've stated many times how much I love all four films. I think there's no duds in there. The fourth film being a made-for-TV film, which I think is great. I love the premise of it. I think it's fun. And Psycho, I could watch those movies all the time. They're just so great. Number three is Friday the 13th franchise. I mean, it's the Friday the 13th franchise. Really, there's one or two films in there that I don't think are the greatest in the world. Everybody knows which ones those are.
Yeah,
I know Zach
Jason
is going
to X and Jason X, because Jason Goes to Hell is awesome.
Yeah, I, you know, Jason Goes to Hell is not my favorite in the franchise, but Jason 10 though, and it's funny because Zach's probably listening going, fuck you, you know, because it's his favorite in the whole series.
Jason X?
Yeah. And I
what?
Think,
God,
I think it's
so
just,
it's such a bad movie, dude.
It is.
Jason X only has a few redeeming qualities about it.
I can't even say it's one of those movies that's so bad it's good. It's just a movie that I have a hard time getting through every time I watch it. I don't know why I'm watching it so many
all
times.
Of the Friday the 13th films, but I barely like Jason X. Jason X, I have to watch it once every couple years because it'll just get on my nerves if I try to watch it, you know, close together.
Yeah. All right, so moving on. Number two is the Dead franchise.
Really? You rank the Dead franchise that high? There's a pretty few bad ones in there, man.
But the thing is, though, is that Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead are like two of my favorite films of all time. I love Land of the Dead, and which might surprise a lot of people. I think that movie is fantastic. And Night of the Living Dead is another one of my favorite films. So, I mean, it's four films that are so strong out of six. And you know what? I mean, Survival of the Dead is not a great film. I think it's definitely the weakest in the whole franchise. But Diary has been growing on me. When I first saw Diary,
I liked Diary. I only seen it one time when it came out, but when it came out, I liked it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize this was wow. This is going back where this was when I really didn't. I wasn't really introduced to George Romero until like late. I've been a huge fan of horror, but somehow that was like the one thing, like George Romero, like slipped under my like knows like for a long time. It's like almost embarrassingly long. Like I knew One Day and Night were like connected, but I didn't even know Diary was at the time that it came out, and I didn't really know who George Romero was. I knew he made Dawn of the Dead, but I didn't know he was responsible for like everything we know in the zombie genre.
And you know, going back to, you know, you being so unfamiliar with Romero, I think it's so fascinating considering you live
right.
Yeah, it's
I know,
so interesting.
Dude. It's so bizarre. Like thinking back, it's just one of those weird things that happened. It I can't explain it. I don't know how it took me so long to be like. And I was a horror fan my whole entire life from the time that I was watching TV. You know, since I was like two or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just to not really know, it was odd. It's just one of those things. I don't know.
All right, so
it's almost even embarrassing to talk about.
I can kind of see that, I guess. But anyways, my number one favorite franchise of all time is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Which oh, end? Where's the Child's Play, man?
Dude, hey, man, Child's Play.
That
so far, Child's Play has made only your list.
Well, guess what? You already know my fucking opinion on Child's Play.
So. Actually,
I still have to go, but.
Actually, that is interesting that, yeah, you are the only one that has Child Play in their top five. But the thing is, like I was saying, like I was making when I was writing down all these franchises, I was like just blown away at how many franchises there actually really is.
I almost had to shed a tear when I realized I was leaving a franchise off this list.
Yeah. I mean, if I made a top 10, yeah. I mean, it's obviously noticeable that Halloween's not in my top five. Child's Play. There's a lot of franchises that I do like that are not in my top five, but I can't. The five that I chose, I mean, it was a no-brainer. Nightmare on Elm Street's always been my favorite franchise. I think Freddy's, you know, everybody knows my thoughts.
I love the fact that you're like a hardcore Freddy fan, dude. Like, I liked it that for some reason, I think, because to me, it seems like it's always Friday the 13th, Halloween. Like, it seems like Freddy barely gets the love in, like, terms of favorite franchises. And I just think it's cool when people have, you know, Elm Street as their favorite.
I would put money on it. If you took a poll on the three major franchises, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, and Halloween, I bet you Nightmare on Elm Street might come up as the in last place.
I guarantee you it would.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Halloween lovers out there, and there's a lot of Friday the 13th lovers. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that love Freddy. I mean, I could think of a lot of people just on YouTube that it definitely is their favorite franchise. I don't know if you guys watch Alex's channel. It's an 80s slasher. Do you guys know his channel?
I don't think I do.
He's fucking me. He doesn't make so many videos anymore, but he still comes out. He pops up with a video here and there, but he's a hardcore fucking Nightmare on Elm Street fan. He's a really cool dude. He makes awesome videos, great editing and stuff. But yeah, I always think of him when I think of Freddy, because he's got Freddy shit all over his place. But yeah, anyways, he'd be somebody that would vote for that. So, but
did you have Friday the 13th in your list?
Yeah, it was number three.
Okay, so I guess I'll go now. My number five is Phantasm.
Wow, Phantasm made all three of our lists. Interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised. If you had to ask me before, you know, before we revealed this, I would have not guessed that.
Yeah.
Then my number, Phantasm. Well, really quick, I just want to say, these can pretty much fluctuate as, you know, time goes on. And maybe in October, if I would do this list, my list would be different. Or in, you know, the summer, if I did this list, my list would be different. But pretty much the number one is probably always going to be the same. Anyway, number four is Psycho. It's such a solid franchise. And it always annoys, like, I don't usually get mad when people don't like the same stuff that I like, or, you know, disagree about something, but I just find it silly when people put down Psycho 2 and 3.
Yeah, I've never understood the hate for those films, man.
I just can't get it. Like, normally when someone disagrees, you're like, oh, I could see where you're coming from, but I just really can't with Psycho 2 and 3. Maybe 3, but 2 definitely not. 2 is such a great follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now, Texas Chainsaw, to me, we all know my favorite film is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. My favorite sequel is Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I think part 3 is pretty solid. 4 is just bad as hell. That film actually annoys me. It's so bad. And fucking Clive thinks that film is good because it's different. No, it's dumb. That film is dumb. That film is not clever at all. It's one of those things where it's like, well, it's different. They're trying something different. It's like, to me, it's just they're dumb, and they're people just kind of see it as different, but really all it is just dumb.
Yeah, I think one time we were having a conversation. I think I said that TCM4 is the equivalent of Friday the 13th, Jason X.
It's worse. It's dumber than that. Nothing makes sense in that film. There's a lot of like things that actually don't make sense, and people just say that it's because it's, you know, different and weird. That's not true. That is not true at all. It's just bad because people poorly wrote the script, and it was just like the plane at the end that comes down, like, where the fuck does that come from? And the whole like government thing, and the girl who dies like 5 times and still walking around makes no sense. That film's a mess.
I agree.
Now, I like both the remake and the prequel. I actually really like them. They have grown on me like tremendously over the past years, and I actually do like Texas Chainsaw 3D. So Texas Chainsaw is one of my favorite franchises. Take part 4 out of there, and it's really, really good. Number 2, A Nightmare on Elm Street. I really, really like A Nightmare on Elm Street. I like all the films in the series except for the remake.
Oh, God.
Which is also with Psycho. You know, Psycho is a I always forget the remake even exists. Like, I really do. I've never even seen it. I just pretend it doesn't exist, I guess.
Oh, I seen that abomination in the theaters when it came out, I think back in 98. Oh, that is just, it's repulsive, man. It's bad. Vince Vaughn playing Norman Bates. I just, fuck.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
You see? Yeah, see? Everybody does.
You know, it's actually a film that I don't even have in my collection.
That's odd. I forgot, I know. You got to get it.
I know. It's so funny. It's just I despise the movie so much. It's just one of those things that I probably will end up picking up one time for like under a dollar or some shit just to have it. But
yeah, I'll grab it eventually. I'll probably actually watch it eventually just because I feel like I at least need to see it once. But I just actually got in the mail today Psycho 2 and 3 and the Psycho Legacy Scream Factory editions.
Nice. Yeah, the Psycho Legacy documentary is good. It's a good one.
Yeah. So my number one, no surprise, Friday the 13th.
No Leprechaun?
I know, bro. I know. That's the one that I was saying. Halloween and the Leprechaun, I both wanted to put like on the list.
I feel like a fucking loser. I got fucking the Outcast list.
I know, and I'm
no,
like,
but that,
Leprechaun,
that's what
fan.
That's what makes it yours, though. You know, it's a fucking list.
Yeah.
Everyone's lists are personal, and they should be different. I mean, actually, ironically enough, mine and JP started out the exact same Phantasm,
and
Psycho,
and we only have one franchise different.
Yeah, I know. That is that. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it was tough, man, because, you know, Texas Chainsaw is another one that I, you know, would be in my top 10 along with, you know, like I said, it's just so fucking hard, dude.
I'm going to convince you bastards that TCM 3D is actually a lot better than you think it is. You will
absolutely
see it,
not.
And you're going to come to me and you're going to be like, JP,
no.
You know what, man?
Nope.
You was right about this movie. It's seriously not that bad. It's pretty good, actually.
That carnival scene ruined it.
The carnival, oh. I will be the first. If you go back to my review right after I got out the theater and reviewed that movie, one of my number one complaints was the missed opportunity in the carnival scene. Before I heard any reviews, before I heard, you know, anybody talk about it, that was my number one like thing that I was like bummed out about.
Yeah,
could have been like Freddy vs. Jason in the fucking cornfield. They fucking missed out on that shit.
Yeah, dude, Leatherface like just chainsawing the fuck out of people would have been awesome. But yeah, so those are our top five franchises. I could make a top 50 probably. I'm sure there's 50 franchises out there.
Oh, there totally is. It's fucking crazy how many there is. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, so top five list.
Honestly, one thing though, I was surprised to see love for Leprechaun and Saw. It really like confused me. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I think I was more surprised of who put Saw in their list. Like, I didn't think Zach liked that as much as then he obviously does, you know.
Well, Zach,
that's quite interesting.
I say you stick around for the next few months.
Yes. All right, so I guess I'll get into the question for next week, and I know JP's not going to enjoy this question, but it does pertain to the main review for, I guess, episode 10 would be next week. So the question here is your top five favorite ghost films. There is a lot.
There's so many, because I mean, like Ghost and like Demon and like those is kind of like for example, Paranormal Activity, is that a ghost movie?
Yeah.
Please don't put Paranormal Activity on your list, JP.
See, this, those type of movies can totally fit into it because, you know, I mean, there's ghost films and then there's, you know, like haunting films and then there's like kind of like movies like The Entity and then there's films like Incubus and stuff. Those are kind of things that are going on, but they're still paranormal shit. You know, it is what it is, right? So, I mean,
okay, so
there's a lot of
basically like stuff like Amityville Horror, even though it's more demonic, like that counts, like hauntings count.
Yeah, I guess totally. I mean, I would try to probably not put too many like possession films in there. You know, like demons that are possessing people. I mean, Amityville's
like,
kind of
Exorcist.
No, that's a possession film. I'm talking ghost films, kind of like, you know, like the original Haunting from like 1961 or whatever came out. I'm talking films like that. You know, so your favorite ghost films, and yeah, there's a wide
range.
It's gonna
be hard for me, man. I'm going to have to go Googling ghost films to see what I've even seen.
When I first thought of it, and the only reason why I did choose this top five is because of the review that we're doing next week. I thought it was just kind of fitting.
Yeah, I like that idea of maybe trying to tie in the top fives to stuff we're doing sometimes. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I've almost had this question, you know, our top five horror franchises for last week, but But you know, yeah, it is what it is,
dropped
right?
Dropped the ball on that one, bud.
So it is what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's no big deal. I mean, it doesn't have to be every time, but it's nice every once in a while to tie it in.
Exactly. So, but yeah, once again, your top favorite five ghost films of all time. And there, you know, there really is a lot of good ones out there. And most of them, after doing research, after I wrote the question, I was kind of looking through my collection and stuff and just thinking. And a lot of the movies are older. Like, we're talking 60s and 70s and stuff that I personally really enjoy. And I think they're really classic type films. There is some newer ones that are interesting, but they don't make them like they used to. I hate when people say shit like that, but it's kind of
ghost films. It is true, man.
You know, ghost films is kind of a hard thing to do properly and not make it bad, but...
You know what I was thinking since we're talking about Friday the 13th? Whatever happened to the Jason versus Jarvis rumor that was going to happen for part 13?
When that came out, I knew it was a rumor. That's just Corey Feldman being Corey Feldman, man. If it comes from Corey Feldman, chances are you can't believe it.
He was probably fucking high when he said it.
Well, no, what happened was he probably did Crystal Lake Memories, and he was probably all excited, and he was like, you know what, we should do it. Feldman versus or Jarvis versus Jason.
I thought you
probably
were say.
Like in his head, he probably thought that that somebody approached him about it.
I honestly thought you were gonna say right after I said he was probably high when you said when he did Crystal Lake Memories. I thought you were gonna say when he did crystal meth.
Yeah,
so fucking close, man.
Nah, dude, that would have been just good. I'm just every day I look at the news, like, please be something about Friday the 13th. I just need to know if this is going to be found footage or not. I just need to know it.
God, please no.
And I just need to, man, just, dude, I was thinking, man, why not go back? Just go back and do, the Survivors. But, dude, that would be an awesome movie. Everybody would go see it. Like, the Survivors, like, all the Survivor people. Like, you don't have to cast the same people, just, you know, the characters. I just really want him to bring back the Jarvis character, though. I like that.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, get into a little quick mood swings. This is mostly pertaining to myself and where I live. I know I've talked about these things briefly before.
Just really quick. Sorry to cut you off. So, yeah, whoever answers that question next week, you will be included in the drawing for, you know, the House of the Devil. I know it's not a great prize, but I had an extra copy, and it's sealed, and it's free. So, I will do the draw with everybody who's, you know, participating in the questions, and next week counts also.
You know what? I have some extra films laying around too. I could probably send something. If you don't have it, I will PM you and ask you, but yeah. So definitely the main prize is that. Did you say sealed copy of House of the Devil?
Yeah, it's a sealed copy of the House of the Devil. It's a DVD, but you know, I figured it would go along nice with the review we're doing tonight and stuff. So,
well, I've heard that, the Blu-ray isn't even worth picking up, though. So,
all right.
All right. Yeah, mood swings. This, like I said, this is kind of pertaining to mostly me and where I live and stuff, because this is just things that have happened to me in the last week, really. Not just in the last week, but it seems to be happening to me a lot more, is fucking shopping online. Everybody knows this is what I have to do. For fuck's sakes, man. There's so many places that will not ship to Canada, and it's driving me nuts.
That's why you have good old friend Jeremy to do it.
It is. But then I run into the problem where, you know, because I am up in Canada, I can't even ship it to him because my billing address is different than, you know, the potential shipping address. So they won't even let me do that shit. Fucking driving me nuts. Yeah, and I keep coming across all these amazing deals. Actually, well, I didn't come across this, but Jeremy showed me this website.
Now you're going to give away my secret. And now
I am not
going
to say
there.
The website.
Jeremy is
not
very, very good at finding deals, by the way, man. I'm glad to have him as a friend. He's always shown me stuff. I really like it.
I was not going to mention the name of the website. But anyways, this particular website definitely indeed had some really great deals. And of course, I went through all the horror section, picked out, I think I had like 10 titles in my cart. Go to checkout. Nope. Figures. Oh, I'm so fucking frustrated. But this just keeps happening recently. Like, I mean, I actually recently had an issue with a place that I regularly order from. Weirdest fucking thing. I put in this order, and they just did not ship my order. You know, they decide that they're going to charge me for this order but not ship it. And I've tried to get a hold of these guys like 5 or 6 times. They will not fucking answer my shit. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck these guys. I'm not dealing with this shit anymore. So I'm just basically trying to prime it out with Amazon right now, which I will get to in a minute too. But wow, am I ever coming across a lot of places that won't ship to Canada? So shitty. You guys are so fucking lucky. You have all these places. Because even like, there's a lot of Canadian
websites. We're so lucky with our healthcare.
Oh God, don't even get me started on that. We actually pay for healthcare, by the way. That's why we're taxed like 35% on our checks, dude. It's not free. But yeah, so there is a lot of Canadian retailers and stuff, but we just don't have the we don't have the same shit. You know, we can't get those, you know, Synapse releases. It's mostly mainstream things, and really fucking sucks, man. It's driving me nuts. That leads me into Amazon. So I'm on Amazon.ca checking out Prime prices and stuff. And I noticed that Zach had posted in our group page on Facebook.
Speaking of Zach, dude, keep posting, man. I love the stuff that you post. You're really active on there. I'd like to see a few more people be a little more active on there. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He posted a picture of he picked up Press Rewind documentary and I think Room 237 and something else.
Don't do it.
And but anyways, I was looking at the price on there. It was like $12 at Costco and shit. But this brings me to my point about Amazon. So I'm looking at on Amazon.com, the prime price I think on there was like I think $17 or $18.
$22.
Is it 22?
Yeah.
But this is what brings me to my point. So I go to Amazon.ca and our price for like the fucking, you know, Press Rewind DVD is like $30. I'm like, how is this even happening? Like, how is it that big of a fucking price difference? You know, like 22.
It's not as good as fucking adjusted tracking, I'm sorry to say.
But, I mean, I'm strictly talking about, like, just price differences here. This is insane. Like, I was looking at, I'm not sure what Your Next is going for on Amazon.com Prime right now, but it was, I think it was like 16 or 17.
I'll check.
It was 17, I think, last time I checked.
Amazon.com, it is 18.
Okay, 18. So, yeah, that actually makes sense because the prime price on .ca is 28. I'm like, it's fucking $10 more, man. Like, what the hell is with the pricing here? So it's really discouraging that, you know, I try to get stuff from Amazon.ca and the prices are just extremely too high. It's just makes no sense. Can anybody explain this?
But you have Are You Afraid of the Dark and we don't, so.
Yeah, motherfucker.
But that's also a Canadian show, though. That does make sense. Technically,
dude, you can get a copy on eBay, you know, season 1 and 2 for, you know, $20 or so, which is about what you'd be paying on Amazon
Canadian.
Amazon CA, goddammit.
He says Canada wrong so much that he actually can't even say it when he's being serious. That's too good.
Speaking of which, man. Moods, you need to pick up season 1 and let me know what you think. It's a show that was made for kids. It's a Canadian show, but it got some decent stuff in there, man. I'm really curious to see if you it or not.
I actually did talk to you about this a while back because I went on Netflix and they actually had, I think, the first 2 seasons on there, on the Canadian Netflix, of course. And I watched a few episodes and I was like, this show actually is pretty good.
It's good.
Thanks.
Yeah,
you didn't tell me that, by the way.
Maybe I didn't. But anyways, yeah, I was actually like, wow, this is not too bad. And so I was talking with my sister because she used to watch the show all the time. I think it's because she's so much younger than I am. And she's like, yeah, it is a good show. And she's not even really a big horror fan herself, or that kind of, you know, but she really enjoyed it. So I was impressed.
You ever get that Salem's Lot?
I love that show. JP. It's one of my favorite shows from the 90s.
You ever get that Lot, JP?
Yeah, I got it today, actually.
Well, yep. Fuck that. That was a good
show. Yeah, you guys that don't know, I ended up grabbing Salem's Lot, the Snapper Case Edition, for around $8, you know, a little bit more shipping. But it came with some other stuff that I didn't have, too, like The Changeling, The Haunting, the colorized version of Night of Living Dead. I thought it was a great deal, so, yeah, I'm excited to finally have that.
Oh, man, that deal was, like, out of this world. That was such an amazing deal. So good. Okay, speaking of shipping prices, once again, so I'm not going to mention any names of titles and stuff, but I'm a big supporter of indie directors. I really like to buy things directly from them, you know, so cut out the middlemen, you know,
speaking
long story
of
short,
which,
they get
everybody
more money.
Go buy Holliston Season 2 from Adam Green's site Aerie Scope.
That's right.
It comes signed.
How much did he pay you to say that, JP?
We'll have to.
Did you get a free copy of Holliston to say that?
We'll throw the link in the description for that. I still need to fucking pre-order that. When is the actual ship date on that?
I don't think it's until like March or April, so you're still good.
Okay.
I'll probably pre-order like, you know, a week before it's released.
Okay. So anyways, getting back to the indie, you know, this, you know, that obviously relates to this, but you know, I'm a big supporter. I like to buy things straight from the, you know, the directors, even though it's going to cost you a little more. That's fine with me as long as they're, you know, they're getting the cash and it helps them out, you know, with whatever they're doing down the road. That's cool. But the problem I'm having though is there's been about four or five films that I've went to go buy lately, and I can't justify the shipping because, you know, these movies are like, you know, $15 DVDs, which is fine. You know, it's a little more than I'd like to pay, but, you know, it's going to a good cause, which is cool. But when the shipping is $22 for one DVD, I can't.
It's insane, dude. It's just bullshit is what it is.
How do you justify that? I mean, for fuck's sakes, man, I know I'm in Canada. It has to, but the shipping doesn't cost $22 to ship one DVD. A matter of fact, it fucking barely even, it's like maybe, I don't know, $4 maybe. But how do you justify that? How do you justify that? I mean, that total is going to cost me 37 plus conversion, $40 for one movie. I really fucking want the movie. And I'm like, Jesus, I can't justify paying more in shipping than the actual product. I mean, obviously you guys are in the same boat too, right? I mean, have you guys come in?
Don't ask me. I don't pay more than I don't.
Yeah, I'm more asking. Yeah, I guess I'm pretty much the only one that does that. But
you can ask JP.
What did you say?
Well, I was, you know, like, have you come into any situations where, you know, you went to go buy something from an indie director or an indie site or whatever, and the shipping is just like outrageous? Probably not, right?
Well, I have had. I can't remember exactly when, but it was probably about right after I started YouTube. Somebody actually sent me a link and said, you know, you should buy my film and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was actually going to do it. You know, it was pretty cool. I want to say that it was something along the lines of like that movie, like Sledgehammer or whatever, not Sledgehammer, Sweatshop, something like that. But it wasn't Sweatshop. It was something that reminds me of Sweatshop. And I went to do it, and the shipping was like $8. And I was like, fuck that.
Christ. I'd be like, that's a good fucking deal.
You know, that's such dude, a difference. If shipping for one disc is more than $3, I don't want it.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, I understand shipping prices have went up and stuff. But, I mean, $22, there's no justification in that. Like, we all know that's not possible.
Did you see the UK Society Blu-ray cover art?
You know what I think should happen? No.
I think it to you on Facebook.
I think that every company, person, whatever, when they put their price listings for their stuff, they should include the shipping in the price, unless it's, you know, a buy $25 and get free shipping or whatever. Because there's nothing more disappointing than putting a bunch of stuff in your cart, you know, thinking you're getting a good deal, and then when you go to check out, the shipping's like $25.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so fucking annoying. Actually, you know what? One website that does, like, if you add something into your cart, your shipping prices are added in, like, in your total right away, and that's oldies.com.
Really?
I think it does it right there. I think when you're adding, the more things you put in there, your shipping prices is right there, and your total's right at the bottom with your shipping. So
yeah,
you don't have to go through the whole process of, like, you know, I think that's if you have an account and you're just, you know, you're logged into it and stuff, but still, it still does it like that. You don't have to go through the whole process of, you know, almost checking out and going, wow, that shipping is really expensive.
Hey, JP.
Yes. JP,
Cabin Fever 3 is coming out on Blu-ray in the UK on March 17th.
Well, way to go. Why don't you just do the news from now on?
I'm just saying.
I'm joking.
I was looking on Amazon UK and it popped up. I didn't know it was coming out
Jeremy's,
that soon.
Jeremy's just
yeah,
like
I actually did know that. I think that was last week that was reported, but I figured it wasn't that important because the UK, I'm not there. but I guess maybe I should have reported it. I mean, it's fucking Cabin Fever 3, but good heads up anyway.
That's right. Damn right.
All
right.
So my last thing, I had a question from somebody the other day, and, you know, it's obviously on all of our minds as collectors and stuff, and I know JP has recently mentioned this too. You know, like, for collectors, basically our biggest concern or worry is running out of room for collecting. So, like, what exactly are you going to do when you completely run out of room? Are you going to start boxing up things and putting them
in closets? I will not do that. I don't see the point at that point.
That's what someone asked me, and I was like, I would never fucking do that. I would literally, you know, make shelves in the middle of my room. Like, I know you guys have obviously been in my movie room, but it's basically the room that I use for it. It's an office. It doesn't have a closet. It's considered an office in my house. It doesn't have a closet. So I have it's a four corner walled room, no closet or nothing, but all those walls are full and like completely full. And someone asked me, like, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, fuck, man, I will build, you know, like movie store shelves in the middle of my floor, you know, and browse like that before I start putting shit in boxes. I just don't see the point.
Expansion.
You know,
it's like, actually kind of a scary thought, man. I don't like the thought of running out of space.
I can only add one more shelf, and then I'm fucked.
But, you know, like...
Well, maybe two.
I don't know, man. To me, there are a lot of titles that I could do without, you know, to be honest. But the collector in me just wants all of them. Like, I don't need Shark Zone. I might never watch Shark Zone again. But I kind of want it.
You watch Shark Zone? Crazy.
Up until Beneath the Mississippi, Shark Zone was my least favorite movie I ever seen in my life.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah, I've had it in the... I really like my really bad shark films, so I was meaning to check it out sometime.
You need to do a Shark Week.
Well, I've actually got enough to do like three of them. So, like, I do have it in the works and stuff. I'm just kind of not procrastinating. I just have a couple of things that I'm going to be getting to before that. So, but anyways, yeah, the collection, I was really thinking about it and going, fuck, man, probably going to have to design some old, you know, kind of video store shelves or even find some to put in this room eventually. But I don't know. I definitely am never going to start boxing up things. I can't bring myself to do that shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought, wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that, or anybody else out there listening. What do you do when you have such a big collection and with limited room? You know. Anyways, that is going to do it for mostly bitching this week, as usual, about stupid fucking shipping and shit. Or lack of shipping to, the foreign land of Canada. So, yes, anyways, that is going to do it for that.
Sweet.
All right, so next, going to hop into the what we watched. It's going to be a little condensed version because me and JP only watched three apiece, so it shouldn't be that long. So I guess I'll start first. First movie I watched was the 1988 film Cheerleader Camp, a.k.a. Bloody Pom Poms.
Dude, they totally should have stuck with Bloody Pom Poms.
Such a good title, man. That's great.
And the unlost sequel, Bloody Pom Poms 2, which nobody knows about.
There's a Bloody Pom Poms 2?
It's a lost sequel.
Yeah.
Nobody has it?
No one has it, but it's supposed to be out. It's supposed to be out there somewhere.
Somewhere out there.
Yes. It's a lost shot on video slasher. But basically films about a group of... A cheerleader squad goes to this camp and for a cheerleader competition, and Betty Russell's character is a little bit... Can you say she's nutty moods?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a little bit nutty. And it's just your basic... It's not so much... It's a little slasher. There's not too many kills in the film. Nothing over the top gore-wise because... I don't think it's about that. It's more of a horror comedy than a, you know, slasher film, I think. But I don't know how to talk about this one, Moods.
I actually haven't watched. To be honest, I remember the film, but I haven't watched it in a long time. So I remember there was a lot of like dream. Is there some dream sequences in there with kills and shit too?
Yeah, but it's like just dreams. It's not nothing too gore or anything like that. It's definitely the low budget. So they didn't have a budget to do over the top kills, but it was your typical late 80s slasher film. Nothing special, I guess.
It's definitely one that I need to revisit, but ironically enough, it is from 1988, so hopefully it comes up on my randomizer sometime.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Who's the randomizer? I know you started using it, Jeremy.
Wait, what did you say?
I said, I love the randomizer. I think you said you started using it, right?
Yeah.
It's so fun. You stick all your films that you haven't watched yet in a randomizer. You know, you save the list so you don't have to type them up every time. And then you copy paste it in a randomizer, hit boom, and that's what you're watching for tonight. I love doing it like that. It's fun.
Yeah, when I started doing the randomizer for my 81 series, it was strictly because I remember watching a video, obviously, before the beginning of last year. And somebody was doing their contest results on a randomizer. And I'm like, you know what? That would be a cool way of picking your movies to watch. And that's how the whole idea became for the 81. And I fucking love it, dude. It keeps everything so fresh because you never have any preconceptions. You know, you're not overthinking what you're watching. I love that shit, man. It keeps it so fresh. But y'all agree with that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I gave it like a 5.5 out of 10.
5.5 out of 10, yeah. I know a lot of people don't generally like that film. I've heard a lot of people say they actually dislike it, so, but
the fat guy's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great slasher, but I actually do like it, though. I remember really liking it, but
if fat guy's not funny, what's he there for?
What is the fat guy in Friday the 13th part 4 or 5?
He's there to die.
Well, he's there to die, too, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, this guy is there to die, too.
Yeah, if you're fat, you're either there to be funny or you're there to die.
Well, he's definitely both, so.
Yeah, he's definitely probably not there to be the jock, right?
No. The jock's a dick. He was a dick. Dan Cook says. Yep. But yeah, that's it. On cheerleader camp.
Cool.
Who's JP going next?
Me? All right, I'll go next. So I watched a film from 1996. It's called The Craft. The Craft is a film that I remember seeing in the 90s and in the early 2000s. I used to watch it quite a bit with my cousins. Four witches. You know, high school students, they're in a private school. Three of them have already been friends. A new girl moves into the town who is what they consider a natural witch. She doesn't have to learn any of this stuff. She just automatically, well, she does have to learn to improve her powers, but she's naturally gifted with powers while the other girls had to learn how to become powerful using spells and, you know, doing seances and chants and all that fun stuff. Basically, it's one of those 90s, like, Scream era teen-type movies, teen horror films, but this time it's witchcraft. Neve Campbell's actually in this film as a secondary character, surprisingly. But overall, I found this one, it's kind of a film that you can tell it's directed more towards the female audience, but I found it extremely fun. It's a film that makes you want to be, like, part of a group like that. Like yeah, man, it really exaggerates, like, high school, you know, like how Scream does and films of that time. And it exaggerates the group. The fitting in, the core four friends who have this special thing together. And I remember watching it as a kid, like, yeah, I want that. I want to have these friends, and I want to be able to do fun stuff like this. It looks like they're having so much fun, you know, doing their, you know, spells and shit. Effects in this film are hit and miss. Some are good, you know, some you had a little CGI snakes and stuff in there. But overall, it really is just a cool story. It's that it has that 90s feel to it, over exaggerated, obviously. but still pretty effective in all the areas that it's trying to be. It is trying to be what it really is. It's a teen horror film, and it works in that way.
It's been so long. I think I commented on your video and I said, man, it's been forever since I've seen that film.
Yeah, I actually think you should give it a rewatch. I mean, it might seem a little... I could see some people not being able to connect with the characters. You know, maybe some older people wouldn't really, get the characters so much. But I think you should be fine watching it. It's the performances is something that I didn't talk about, but... one of the girls, I forget her name, but she's was in The Waterboy, and she was in American History X, you know, the girlfriend of Ed Norton. You know who I'm talking about? She has that weird look to her, a mean yeah. look to her.
Yep.
Yeah, she did a really good job as, like, the witch.
Talking about Mama from Waterboy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in Waterboy, too.
Oh, I love that movie.
Who are we talking about?
Mama from Waterboy.
No, not Mom. I'm not talking about Mama.
No, she's in Waterboy, though.
Okay, I thought that's who you
Yeah, her name's Fairuza Balk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's, like, really mean looking. Like, she got an attitude to her. And she does great as, like, the rival witch. And, in terms of actual witchcraft, I think this film does, you know, probably the best job of actually showing spells and curses and the concept of whatever you do comes back at you three times. Like in terms of actual witchcraft, it seems to do more than most films.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one, Jeremy?
No, I haven't.
I actually highly recommend The Craft. I think it's a fun time.
I heard everybody likes it.
It's not going to blow you away. It's not overly gory. It's not. It's pretty much predictable. Also, it's a very predictable film. But the journey and the fun, it's fun. I give it a 7 out of 10. Check it out.
Everyone seems to like it, so.
Cool. All right. First film I'm going to talk about tonight on the cast is a film from 2013, and it's called Jugface. Now, I heard a lot of...
Now, was this a film that I seen popping up on people's top 10 lists?
Yeah. This movie was making a lot of people's lists. I heard a lot of really, really good things about it. Like, not a lot of negativity about it at all.
What's funny is I didn't hear anything about this film until I was looking at people's top 10 lists. I was like, I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
And it was popping up all of a sudden.
I'd heard of the movie. I just didn't really... see a lot of people talking about prior to their best of the year list and stuff, but so that alone got me very curious about it, because it was a film that I knew very little about, and making people's top 10 list, I had to check it out. So basically, this is actually a very interesting film that's very original. It's basically about this this girl. She lives... it's more or less about a family, and they live in, like, the backwoods, like, this, you know, this fucking area, and they're kind of hillbilly-ish. They definitely live, like, that kind of lifestyle and stuff. But the odd thing about this family or cult kind of deal is that there's this they live by what they call the pit, and it's literally a pit. And you can look down into this thing, and it's got water and stuff in there, but there's, like, some kind of weird, like, entity or force that lives inside this pit. And basically what happens is every year they have to sacrifice somebody to the pit, and what the pit does, it keeps the whole family and the community safe from other evils. The idea of this is that there's a person that is designated to basically kind of accept that wish from the pit. And what it is, it's a dude that makes moonshine and stuff, hence the name of the movie Jugface. Now, where Jugface comes from is that the pit tells this person who needs to be sacrificed, and that the guy that makes the moonshine and stuff, he crafts their face on this jug, and they essentially have to sacrifice that person to the pit. So the pit tells this guy, who is being sacrificed. But anyways, this young girl that's part of the community, she finds out that she is the next to be sacrificed, and she's pregnant. She fucking freaks out. And what she does is she grabs the jug face with her face on it and she goes and hides it. Well, this isn't good for anybody because now the pit is pissed off and everything kind of gets reversed. Now the pit is actually starting to kill people despite the fact that he didn't get his sacrifice, or the entity or whatever didn't get a sacrifice. So she kind of fucks up everything for this whole community, basically, because she's selfish and she doesn't want to sacrifice her life for the whole, for the goodness of the family and stuff, right? So
of course, I wouldn't sacrifice my life either.
But that's the thing. They live in this like weird mentality that some, it's acceptable. You know, if you're picked, you have to accept it, and you basically bend over this fucking, this tree trunk, and they slit your fucking neck.
Come on, have you seen,
I'm knocking some fools out.
Yeah, have you seen Happy Town? Come on, you gotta get sacrificed to John Elway. Come on.
I don't even know what reference that is.
South Park. Come on, Moods, you have to know that episode.
So anyways, they,
Oh, I do know that episode. That's a great episode.
Are we talking South Park right now?
Yeah, Smiley Town, you gotta get sacrificed to John Elway.
I own every season of South Park. I know what episode we're talking about here. But anyways, so she fucks up everything and this entity starts killing people in this community and stuff. You know what? This movie is very, very fucking original. I got to say, it doesn't run very long. It runs about 80 minutes, kind of gets right into it. I don't know. Like I liked the movie. I didn't understand all the hype about it, though. Like, I do respect the originality of it. I respect the performances are really good. I think maybe it was kind of executed a little weirdly at times, because there is times where they go into the city to sell off this moonshine and stuff. And I don't know. There's just certain elements of this film that I found didn't really work for me. I do want to watch it again, you know, but...
Well, it must have done something, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's the idea of the film. It's very weird and unique. You know, this whole sacrificing to this entity inside this pit and stuff, keep the community. It's a different idea. It's very intriguing. I think that there is times in the film that, I don't know, I wish there was kind of more to it, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
You know, it just kind of...
It's kind of weird. It seems like it might be a little hard to review this one.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what, yeah. I mean, the thing is, what it comes down to, and the end is kind of interesting, what happens. But I felt like it was lacking something, and I'm not entirely sure what it is, but it, you know, it is a good film. I don't see the crazy hype that it was getting and people making it their number one film of the year, but I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's a good film. I can see people why they would have it on their list and stuff, but I don't think it would have made my top 10 list. Unlike, you know, I watched Byzantium recently.
If I
had seen that movie prior to my list, it would definitely would have made it. But, you know, this was a good movie, but there's just something missing from it. I can't quite put my finger on it, but like I said, originality gets a lot of respect for me, though.
Well, considering it isn't your pick of the week, I doubt it would make your top 10.
No. Yeah. So, but you know, if I had to rate Jugface, I'd probably give it, it's a good movie. I'd definitely give it maybe like a 7.5. It's a really solid film. And like I said, the originality alone gets a mad props. And the performances were pretty, really well done, I thought. But there's just certain things in this movie that kind of frustrated me. And I don't know. But that's why I want people to watch this one. I wish you guys have seen this so we could talk about it, because I think it's one of these movies that will have a different opinion. People have a lot of different type of opinions on it. I know David Koning, this is his favorite movie of last year.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why I was so fucking intrigued to see this, because, you know, he's got interesting taste. He likes a lot of things we do. Some of the things he doesn't like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you know, I was very intrigued that it was his number one pick, and I did catch it on a lot of people's lists. I know Scotty really liked this movie, and there was a few other people that really were talking it up. And I think it is making a lot of lists because it is so original and different. But like I said, I found it missing something. I am going to watch this movie again, but I don't know. If you guys can check it out, it's definitely worth watching. You know, you might have a different opinion on it than I do right now. So, but yeah, Jugface from 2013.
All right. So my second and last pick of the week was a very interesting film from 2000. Oh, sorry, second pick before my pick of the week. very interesting film from 2009. That's Dead Hooker in the Trunk, which is Soska Sisters' first film. This movie is batshit fucking crazy awesome. If you guys like films like Hobo with a Shotgun and stuff like that, you definitely gotta check it out. It stars the Soska Sisters, and one of the Soska Sisters plays this badass, and the other Soska Sister plays this geek, and they're accompanied on their journey by a badass junkie. And so the film starts out, they plan, two of the main characters plan to go pick up drugs for the junkie, of course. And on the way, they open their trunk and
Wait a minute. I thought you said you didn't like drugs in films.
There's nothing I could do about it on this one.
I'm just busting your balls, man.
I know. So they open up their trunk and they find a dead hooker, of course, in their trunk. And
You're making a film called Dead Hooker in a Trunk, there better goddamn be a dead hooker in a trunk.
So there's flashback of one of the Soska sisters and the junkie who had a party last night, the night before, and they're trying to decide if they were the one who killed the hooker and were trying to get rid of the body. And it's pretty much about who this dead hooker is. There's, you know, arms getting ripped off and getting sewn back on, and how cowboy pimps and stuff like that. It's definitely a fun, batshit crazy film. I liked it a lot.
Now, I heard this one compared to like a modern day grindhousey exploitation style film. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's like Hobo with a Shotgun, pretty much.
That's awesome.
There's a penis scene that's pretty interesting. That's pretty funny. You guys should definitely check this movie out.
I know how you like those penis scenes.
Yes. Yes. And same with Moods, because he watches gay porn. But anyway.
Jeffries.
I really enjoyed this movie, actually, Dennis.
It's so fun, isn't it, Moods?
Man, I fucking laughed so hard at the part with the arm getting torn off.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's so fucking funny, man. I was just, and it's so out of place, though, too, right?
Yeah, but now they fucking sew it back on. Just made me fucking piss my pants.
This is a film. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, for me, it was kind of cool to see, because I recognized a lot of the spots that they filmed in, because it was filmed in Vancouver. I was like that, you know, when you're watching a film. I mean, you could probably definitely relate, Jeremy, to a lot of films filmed in Chicago, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Candyman filmed in Chicago?
Indeed. The first one.
Yeah. But I was like that, though. Like, when you recognize things in movies, I'm like, that's super cool.
And you would not want to go there. So those people had balls for going to that fucking place.
Yeah.
Cabrini Green.
It's not even there anymore, but...
Is that a real place? Like, that's the real name of it?
Yeah, it's a real place.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But so yeah. What did you get that film?
I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys know my opinions on American Mary. I mean, we talked about it. It was like my number, three film of the year. So... I'm extremely interested to go back and check out their other work, because I've only seen American Mary from the Soska Sisters.
It's interesting.
Their only movie, you know, JP.
They're so uncomfortable.
It's their what?
Though.
It's their only other movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
They've only done two movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have sworn they did something else.
No.
But...
All right. Yeah, well, I guess I don't have far to reach back then.
The movies are so... You know, you can't even really compare them. They're so different. You know, the tone of Dead Hooker in a Trunk to American Mary are completely fucking different.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I kind of like the Soska Sisters for that, though. Like, that's why I'm so intrigued to see See No Evil Part 2, what they do with that.
You know what it is? They have so many projects lined up, like See No Evil 2, ABCs of Death 2, that all-female anthology. Why I thought they had more films.
Yeah, yeah. They're just up-and-comers, man. They're busy as shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, JP.
Yep, JP.
You guys done with Dead Hooker?
Yep.
Alrighty. After that, I also watched Prom Night 2008. So, Prom Night 2008. Oh man. So this is one of those scenarios where everybody always talks bad about this film, and I figured it's overly hated. It's gotta be. Like, I'll probably enjoy it and then I'll probably be made fun of for like prom night.
You liked the remake?
No.
Okay.
And I watched it and I was like, you know what? Everybody was right. This movie is pointless. It's bland. It's unoriginal, even for a remake. You know, remakes are already unoriginal, but it's completely uninspired. It's going with, going right through the motions. There's absolutely nothing to it. Like, nothing is in, like, interesting characters, interesting killer. Everything is so bland. The prom is not even interesting. The idea of putting it in a hotel, that's not interesting. That's stupid. It's just a bad movie. It's a cash in PG-13 in name only remake. The first film isn't even, the original Prom Night is not even a good horror film in my opinion. And to say that this one is actually worse than that makes this film really bad. The only thing that I can really say about this film that is good is it's polished. Like, it looks shiny. It has decent, Hollywood style cinematography. It has, some good looking people in it. Those are like that. That's the types of positives I'm reaching for, because there's nothing really interesting about this film at all. Like, no gore, no suspense. They try so hard to make this film suspenseful, and it's not at all. This is a terrible, terrible movie.
Wait,
It's a bad
JP,
experience. Yes.
can I say something really
Yes, you
quick?
can.
Leprechaun Origins, directed by Zach Lipinski, starring WWE star Hornswoggle, will be distributed by Lionsgate in August 2014.
August?
That was released on January 18th.
Wait a minute here. That statement was released January 18th.
Yep.
Does it have good sources?
It's from the WWE press release from the yearly quarterly fucking thing.
I haven't seen anybody report on that. My understandings was it was supposed to be released in February. It's
From
been done for so
MarketWatch.com.
long.
From MarketWatch.com. It also states See No Evil will be distributed by Lionsgate in October 2014.
So this film, Leprechaun Origins, is not hitting until August.
Yeah.
This
Maybe
film
that's
must
why we
be
haven't seen.
completely terrible if they're holding it till August.
It's in the sixth
It's
paragraph I sent it to you.
been done for months.
I
I think they finished filming in like October.
Yep, I just read that now.
All right, Jeremy, breaking news. Too bad that
Yeah.
wasn't live.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, prom night, it sucks. I'm done. Four out of
Moods,
ten.
is your dog stop barking now?
Yeah, the wife came home, so the dogs went ape shit. Sorry
Four
about
out of
that.
ten for prom night. It's bad.
Four. Wow, you gave it a four? Fuck, you're so generous.
I am. I'm sorry. My thing is that if it's a if the movie is an actual movie and there's like there's it has all the like standard things you need in order for it to be, look good and camera shots and following actors and at least semi-decent acting, you have to give it a few points for that alone, right? I mean, to me, below a three means that it's just, at least it had competent actors. You know what I mean? At least it had competent cinematography. At least it had, the things that make a movie a movie. So there's some films that don't have that don't have, sound and like the cinematography is terrible and the lighting's bad. Like, this had all that stuff. I mean, it's a big budget Hollywood movie. So you have to give it some credit for that stuff because, that's where those 4 points come from.
Interesting. All right, so This one's kind of a different one here. This is a kind of like a half documentary, kind of half like kind of almost like trailer movie. It's called Drive In Madness. It's released by Sabrosa Studios.
I am that movie.
Yeah, I'm curious. What would you have rated Prom Night?
Oh fuck, man! I don't know. Maybe like 2.5.
Really?
To me,
2.5 is just so low. 2.5 to me is like one of those films you'd find in a multi pack. Like,
yeah,
like,
but 5 to me is like, you know, an average film. 4 just seems like it's just below average.
Yeah, like, which Prom Night is pretty much like below that average film. Like, it's bad. It's a bad movie. It's not completely terribly like unwatchable, which I think like 1 to 3 is like almost to getting to that point of like, you know, 3 is like getting to that point of where it's like there's absolutely nothing besides a like, I don't know. It's, I guess my ratings are just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So Drive In Madness from 1987. It's more of a, like I said, it's kind of like a half documentary, half kind of, you know, clip. Well, I guess like almost like trailers and stuff mixed into it. But it was very entertaining. I didn't really know what to expect from it. But it has interviews and stuff with like George Romero, Tom Savini, Leanna Quigley, Sam Sherman, John Russo, and et cetera. Very cool stuff, though. Like, it was very interesting. They were just talking about, you know, basically kind of reminiscing of their Dead films and you know, things like that. And they were basically talking about, like, you know, drive-in films and, you know, trailers and, you know, just the making of these films and their experiences with, you know, going to drive-ins and stuff. It was actually really fun to watch. I would highly recommend this, you know, just put it on if you're having a couple drinks or whatever. It was very cool, though. But I found it was interesting. It was from 1987, so everyone looks really young and kind of, I guess the interviews were, you know, It's funny to just hear them talk about the films back in those days, you know. And I had a lot of fun with this, man. I would actually highly recommend this. Have you watched this, Jeremy?
No, but I have it.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend this. If you guys like, you know, documentary-style films, but it has some really cool trailers of films that I'd never seen trailers for. It was actually kind of funny because I just picked up Dracula vs. Frankenstein, the Troma release, and they actually had a trailer for it on here. I'd never seen a trailer for it.
You should get Shock Festival.
Yeah, I mean, okay. But
it's really good.
So, and they talk about these type of films that are, you know, they're specifically made for the drive-ins and shit like that. And it is very cool, man. Very cool trailers and shit. And obviously there's a bunch of trailers in here that you guys have obviously seen the films too. But it was just very interesting hearing the interviews. I'd never actually seen these interviews before. So maybe they've been used later on in other documentaries. I don't know. But like I said, this came out in 87, so it was relatively new. And it's funny how they're talking about, you know, there's interviews and they're talking about how like VHS is totally taken over and all the drive-ins are dying out and stuff. And I'm like, holy fuck, there's like 50 left in North America as of now. And they're like, yeah, there's only about 1500 or 2000 left in all of America. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah, it's so I know, man. My drive-in right now is struggling to survive, man. It's sad. Yeah. Facebook, it's blowing up. Like they actually just started selling posters, and they had this really cool Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 like standee post standee thing, and they got a couple like posters from Elm Street 2 and stuff that they're auctioning off, and you know, they're selling for like $80 and shit, which is like nothing. What, they're probably worth a lot more than that, but
yeah, crazy. But I think you'd have a lot of fun with this. Same with you, Jeremy. Check it out if you have it.
Drive-In Massacre, right?
No, it's called Drive-In Madness.
Madness, not Massacre. Yeah. Drive-In Madness.
But I always find that, you know, the drive-in, talking about drive-ins and stuff is so fascinating because it really is like done, you know. I actually am fortunate enough to still have one in my city. But, you know, we don't get films like this there. It's more mainstream type bullshit fucking. It's too bad we didn't live in those times of the, you know, the drive-in era. Would have been super cool. They even go into as much as talking about like how awesome the food was and shit, you know. It's pretty fucking cool. But I just love how they structured this documentary, because it's like they'll have like a quick little interview with like, it'll be George Romero and Tom Savini sitting next to each other talking about shit, and then they'll mention the movie, and then also it'll kick into the full trailer of like a movie. It's fucking cool, man. I had a lot of fun with this. It's pretty cheaply. Like, cool. I got this thing $5 brand new. So
it's $2.60 brand new on eBay.
Yeah, it's dirt fucking cheap. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's hard to rate something like this, but you know, it's really fun. 7.5, I guess. I highly recommend it. It was fun. So I like things like this.
Yeah. I mean, ratings are hard on, like, you know, documentaries and shit like that. I never know. Like, you have to have kind of compare it to, like, the way I do it is I take Elm Street Legacy, which is, you know, a 10 to me in the world of, like, documentaries and style films like that. So I kind of say where would I rank it to that?
Yeah, I mean, I never actually really thought. Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of works. I mean, I never. Same. That's such an interesting way of doing things, because I mean, I have a lot of tens in my mind too. But when I'm rating a film, I don't try to make, you know, say Dawn of the Dead for me is like a 10 out of 10, and you know, if I'm, you know, looking at a movie like Jugface, I'm not going, well, how is it comparable to that? I don't. It's just
and I agree. I don't do it with those either. But I'm just saying, in the world of documentaries and those style films, because I don't know how to rate them any other way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like,
You're setting a precedent, right? So this is a 10, and it's okay. Yeah.
If I'm talking about, you know, like a film like Killjoy, I'm not saying, well, where would I put this with Halloween? You know, I'll probably put, say, like, where would I put it with, you know, obviously I'm going to compare it to the more like Full Moon-y style films and rate it kind of that way. Just like Prom Night. It's a 4 to me because it's still like a well-structured film in terms of, you know, average structure. It's not, there's not any like glaring problems in like sound and film wise. So you have to give it a bit of credit there. It's still a movie that isn't like hard to sit through. It's just kind of a bad movie. It's below average. But it's not something like, Secrets of a Clown, or, you know, Beneath the Mississippi, which is terrible. Like, Beneath the Mississippi is like, it actually is bad because, one, it's bad in all aspects. Like, the sound literally cuts out in the film. You can't hear things. Like, that's a 1 to me. Nothing that's a film that's actually well filmed, or even like stuff like like shot on video stuff wouldn't even be a 1 like that, like, cause at least it's a story and you can hear stuff. Like, you have to be able to hear stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different type of factors when, you know, kind of giving a rating for a film, but yeah, documentaries is kind of an interesting one because, like, you know, you're not going to say,
I want to check out that Dark Sky Moons one I sent you, Dark Sky Films one I sent you, Moods, last week.
Which one's that?
What was it called? It was about, like, Italian horror or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually been discovering quite a few documentaries I've never seen before, just, and I'm compiling quite the fucking list of ones I don't even own. I'm surprised.
I finally got Psycho Legacy, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, I'm really big. I really like documentaries.
It's called Machete Maidens.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, you're done. Like, all you have left is your pick of the week.
Indeed.
Okay, I have one more film than my pick of the week. My third film is called Nine Dead from the year 2010. This is a film that I seen before. It's right up my alley with the people locked in one location type thing. Basically, 9 people wake up in a room chained to a pipe. And a guy walks in with a mask and he's like, you have 10 minutes you guys have to figure out why you're here. And every 10 minutes, I'm going to come in. I'm going to shoot one of you guys. And you either find out why you're here or you guys will end up all dead. But there's also another little trick to where you also have to know why each and every one of you guys is here. So once that person's dead, you pretty much have to use the only information you know about them to solve the rest of the puzzle. It's very Saw inspired, but I think it stands on its own feet too. it's really fun just kind of figuring out what's happening and getting the little pieces of information. And by the end of it, of course, you figure out how they're all connected and, you know, who met who where and why they're all there. I will say that it is like a bit of a letdown. But there's also a shocking part too, and you feel like some of the reasons why people are there. Some reasons are like, yeah, that guy should definitely be there. Others are like, well, he kind of really didn't do much. So there are a little bit. The story could have been a little bit tighter, but overall, if you like these kind of films, you'll like this one. If you like the films that are, you know, kind of riddly and kind of all in one location, and they're using dialogue and stuff to carry it through, this is a film for you. I also will say that the characters are a bit cliche. Like, you have the tough black guy, and you have the nerdy white guy, and you have the pervert gay guy, and the preacher, and they're kind of
no mentally challenged person.
No mentally challenged person. Huh, but you do weird. This is very formulaic, because instead of the mentally challenged person who can't communicate, you have a person who doesn't speak English, which is the same as the mentally challenged person.
They
flipped
it up on this one.
Yeah, it would be the same as putting a deaf person there or something. You know what I mean? So you have the cop, and you have the, you know, it's very, the core characters are there, which I kind
of
wish they would. What's up?
What's the name of this movie?
It's called Nine Dead.
Yeah, I
don't know it.
So it has its problems, but overall, I think it's really fun. It's really entertaining. There's a few things that let you down, but you know, it's very minor letdowns. It's pretty entertaining. If you like these kind of movies, you will probably like this one. I rated an 8 out of 10. I really did enjoy it. I like this film a lot.
Interesting.
Have
Sounds
you seen
cool
it?
Enough.
Nobody
no.
seen it?
No.
I could have sworn somebody. I would have totally thought somebody would have saw that. You have it?
Yeah.
I expect you to watch this by next week.
Let me see if I have it on my shelf. Moods, talk about one more movie.
And also,
Jeremy's not
going to
watch that by next
week. This goes before Adam Chaplin, by the way.
Oh, here we go with fucking Adam Chaplin. Thanks, JP.
That's exactly what I was getting at. I can't believe that you won't watch a film that I've so highly recommended. It's just,
I know, for like 3 weeks. You know how long it's going to take him to watch Nine Dead? He'll probably watch it by next week.
Yeah, I guess I could talk about another one. This movie's from 2003, I believe. Another Sub Rosa Studios release, and it's called The Undertow. It's basically you're kind of generic. It's basically kind of like your generic, you know, slasher type esque film. And it's basically about these fucking six friends that...
should have said it was put out by Image, JP.
I didn't know that it was.
Okay. So anyways, it's about these six people that are, you know, they're going on like a boat trip, going to... I don't know, they're just going on a fucking canoe trip, basically, is what they're doing. Anyways, they get pulled over before they get there, and this local cop obviously does not fucking want these people anywhere near their town and shit like that. And what they do when they have outsiders come into the town, they actually just call up, I guess it's like the mayor's son. He's like this 7-foot-tall, hideous fucking dude that wears his bag on his head. They keep him locked in like this, kind of like this, you know, kind of like a cage kind of deal. And they let him out when they need him to do work for them, which is kill the non-locals. So basically, you know, these guys are on this canoe trip and they start getting picked off one by one. Sounds super, super generic, super low budget, you know, typical Sub Rosa Studios release and stuff like that. But honestly, this movie actually kind of was pretty good. You know, it's got not the most generic characters in the world, but, you know, everyone was kind of decently likable. It has a lot of buildup, which was quite surprising for the film. Like, this movie only runs about 80 minutes long, and there's just a lot of dialogue and a lot of buildup and stuff. You get to really know the characters, which is quite interesting for a film like this. I found it quite fascinating. Maybe a tad too much buildup, but when the killings start happening, people start getting picked off pretty well. And I do like the way they filmed the... I guess the killer in this, I can't even remember. He's known as the boy. That's what they call him, the boy. You know, he's probably obviously not 7 feet tall, but they really did kind of make him look big and shit. But the ending was worth the watch of the film because it was kind of awesome. It was kind of fucking awesome. And usually when I say something like that, you kind of know what I'm leaning towards when I say, you know, for a slasher film, it's not really what I was expecting. But, you know, overall, it was good. You know, it's low budget. You know, like I said, you know, Sub Rosa Studios release. So I expected this movie to have a lot more comical elements to it and be a little more goofy and silly. But it actually took a serious approach. And it's funny because I was actually, when I was watching the movie, I was reading one review on this. And it actually said in there that apparently that they were going to make this movie a slasher comedy, but the producers of it wanted to make it a little more serious. And they pretty much made it like a serious film, which is quite interesting in itself. But, you know, I do recommend it. It's another movie that you can get for a couple bucks, brand new. It's super cheap. But like I said, it's Sub Rosa Studios. So, but yeah, I don't know. If you're a fan of these low budgets, I recommend The Undertow. It was actually pretty good. So, yeah.
That's like Nine Dead. I also got for like $2. It's really cheap.
Yeah, I love when a movie like this, you're not really expecting anything from it, and it totally turns out to be so much better. If I had to rate it, I'd probably give it, you know, a 7 out of 10. You know, I mean, it's not like blow your fucking mind or nothing, but it was more surprising than anything, and I really enjoyed the ending. I thought it was quite well done, and the biggest surprise to me was the lack of, or not the lack of, but just not having those super cliched characters that are so annoying and hideously unlikable. You know what I'm saying? So it made the movie a lot more enjoyable to watch. And the buildup was quite surprising. I couldn't believe that, you know, there wasn't killings every fucking 3 minutes in the film with, you know, but it was good. It was good.
Okay. Are we going to do our pick of the week now?
Sure.
We have enough time.
Yeah.
Okay. So my pick of the week, I guess I don't want to talk about it too much because we'll be doing this as a theme week coming up. But my pick of the week is Inhuman Resources, put out by Fangoria Presents. This is a fair, you would like this movie, JP. All takes place in one setting. Basically, it's about this girl.
I didn't even realize how much I like these films, but I guess I really, really do like these type of films.
So awesome. This chick looks exactly like Danielle Harris, could play a Danielle Harris body double for sure. So she is at this job interview or at this job, and she's waiting for an elevator, and she opens up and she sees this decapitated woman and this guy holding an axe, and this guy gets framed for the murder and gets sent off to an insane asylum. So fast forward, this girl doesn't have a job, so she's doing that titty show thing on the internet where you know
titty show thing,
but you go on the live cam girls thingy, you know what I'm talking about. They have like live cams of chicks fucking doing shit.
Do I know what you're,
yeah, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's naked girls on the internet, of course.
Yeah, but it's like a live web show thing.
Yeah, like a, yeah, I get, okay, you.
Yeah, anyway, it's like an internet peep show kind of thing.
Yeah so she's doing this,
you just
and
made it sound pervy.
That's what they're literally called peep shows, though,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So
there's a whole bunch of them. But anyway, she gets kidnapped by this guy and chained to this desk with 5 other people. And their task is to try and prove that guy is innocent. And if they, you know, screw up or anything like that, they get a mark, a tally on their forehead. And once they get 5 tallies, you know, 5 screw ups.
Dude, they get, I just heard, you know, somebody talking about this today,
yeah,
like outside of like YouTube, and I never hear people talk about horror films outside of YouTube.
Yeah, it's,
that's
really
cool.
Really fucking fun, interesting movie, original a little bit. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun for what it was, and yeah, I'll give it an 8.2 out of 10.
8.2?
Yeah, it's good.
I actually had to pause it for a second. I thought, did he just say
8.2? It took a second to hit me. I was like, oh, 8.2?
Yeah, I would give it an 8, but I didn't want to rate it. I wouldn't rate it higher than Dead Hooker in the Trunk. It's about the same. So I guess I would give it an 8. It's on the same level as Dead Hooker in the Trunk.
That's kind of much like how You know, 8 is kind of a high rating for 9 Dead, but it's my kind of movie, so it's like I wouldn't say that the average person might say it would be an 8, but it's the type of movie I like.
Mm-hmm.
So is that it for
and human resource? We'll talk about that in a few shows in a few weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So my pick of the week, I had to make this my pick of the week, man, because honestly, this was the highlight of my week. I really did love this film. It's Tix from the year 1993. Tix is a film that I watched a few times growing up. It was on the Sci-Fi Channel back when it was not SYFY, when it was, you know, actually spelled out like sci-fi. And Sci-Fi used to put on good movies. Like, they used to show, like, good shit and not just, you know, giant cockosaurus versus, like, octopussy or something. Tix is about a marijuana field that is using these, like, growth hormones that gets on these, like, tick larvae. And the ticks basically grow. Now, you know, it has a very, like, 80s style plot. So these ticks get giant, and they basically infest the wilderness, which it turns out that there's this troubled teens group going into the wilderness to rehabilitate their badness. You have a young Seth Green in this film, and the highlight character is Carlton. Alfonso, I believe his name is.
Alfonso Carrero.
And dude, first of all, his name is Panic, because he never does. He said this hardcore.
So awesome.
I love that line. It's my favorite line in the movie. He's like, they call me Panic because I never do. And he's trying to play this, like, you know, hardcore, street kid. He's a street kid. And, but the performance, there's an episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where Carlton hangs out with Jazzy Jeff, and he gets all, you know, gangster all of a sudden. And his performance is like Carlton playing that gangster character. It's so funny, man. It is, you have to see it. It's just something you need to see in your life if you're familiar with Fresh Prince at all, which I am. And, you know, besides that, the film itself is just, it's so much fun. The practical effects just kind of blew me away. For 1993, the ticks look like giant ticks. Like, they actually look like giant ticks. They like, it all works so well. There's some great gore. They kill a dog, which was sad. And yeah. The acting is, you know, it's not great or anything. It's kind of bad. You got a Clint Howard in there. It's just a blast, dude. It really is so much fun. All of Films put this out, which the discs are overpriced, but it looks great on Blu-ray. And I actually would go out and I would say that this film is worth a, you know, full price buy on this release. And I don't say that often. Moods.
Yeah, it's a good movie, man. It's so enjoyable. I know exactly what you mean about the mutated ticks, that they look good. They look good. And it really adds a nice element to it. It's got a fucking total 90s feel, though, doesn't it?
It does, man. You could just, Seth Green. That's all. You look, take one look at Seth Green.
Well, it's even having Carlton in the movie. You're just like, it's so fucking 90s, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just so iconic.
Who would have thought that Carlton is a harder name than his real name? Alfonso?
Yeah.
See, where they like that yellow shirt playing pool in one scene?
I can't remember.
I think I've seen this movie
before. But no, I mean seriously, the ticks look like, when they make them run, dude. Like, the ticks move a lot and they look real. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a good movie, man. Really fun. I'm glad that Olive picked that up and released that.
Yeah, I've been waiting on it for years. I always wanted a DVD release of that.
Yep.
So yeah, cool. Check out Tix. It's definitely worth it. Olive Films is so overpriced, though. I can barely justify picking this one up.
Yeah, they're a little overpriced, I will.
Considering there's only a commentary and that's it for special features.
That's one thing that they definitely lack in is their special features is crazy, man. You know, I just don't know where they get off charging what they are for basically just the film. But yeah. It is what it is. So, what did you rate that one?
Tix, I give an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
What would you rate it?
Probably the exact same. 8 out of 10.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. All right, so is that it for Tix then?
Yes, it is.
All right, so my pick of the week is going to be a film from 2000. Well, we got the release in 2013. I think this movie may have been shot and even came out in Switzerland in 2010 or 11 or something. But the point is, it's brand new to us. Never heard of this film before. And it's called Senetanshi. I think that's how you pronounce it, Senetanshi.
Is this Japanese?
No, this is a...
Is that the one with the white cover or whatever?
This is the one I posted on our Facebook
page.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this movie's been getting a shit ton of buzz. Yeah. And it was one I didn't get around to checking out last year. And I really wanted to because I kept hearing from a lot of people that it was so good and different. And it was also the very first horror film released out of Switzerland, you know.
Wait, what?
Yes, the very first horror film ever to come out of Switzerland. That probably really? Has like a... Yeah, that's what it's known as. So...
How old is this thing?
Jesus Christ, JP, you're not listening.
He already said.
It's 2013. I think it may have came out in Switzerland in like 2011 or something.
Get your shit up, man.
Is there really not another horror film from Switzerland?
Apparently not. I didn't do too much research, but that's the consensus and the buzz about it. So maybe we're talking major, distribution. You know, this is like the very first one ever to come out of there, so... But anyways, it's called Senetanshi.
Don't get snappy at me, Jeremy.
But this movie is a really, really hard movie to talk about. Based on, you know, I don't want to give spoilers away and shit like that. But basically, the basic premise of the film is it does start in the present day, basically with a crime scene. And it jumps right back into where it takes place in 1975. The whole movie takes place in 1975. And basically, it starts out with this girl... this mute woman, this police officer finds her kind of wandering around in the city and stuff like that. And everyone's all freaking out and stuff because they just had what they think. Well, they don't actually think it's murder, but this priest had killed himself and stuff like that. But the local people were kind of blaming this potential Senetanshi. You know, the myth behind what a Senetanshi is that it's someone that you can basically... You make a woman out of straw and it's kind of given to you it's given life by the devil. So it's basically like an evil presence. So if you make this woman out of straw and stuff like that, you know, she could possibly come real and stuff like that. That's the whole myth behind of what the folk or the town folk think that she is. So anyways, she comes fucking down from the hills, all beat to shit, all looking like shit. She can't talk and all the town folk are freaking out and stuff. And they think that's what she is. Anyways, this police officer takes upon himself to, kind of take her in and treat her like she's normal and stuff. He believes that she's not evil and stuff like that and whatnot. And, he's really trying to prove this to the town folk that, you know, she's not responsible for all the bad things and all the evil that's been happening in the city and stuff like that. And no one's buying it. No one's buying it. And it actually, you know, even turns out not to be the greatest thing for him for defending her. But anyways, this movie's kind of done in like sections, you know, and then you got like another section of the film where you've got another mute kid and his father and this guy that's running from the law. They live up in like the Swiss Alp mountains and stuff like that. And this guy's like he makes absinthe actually up there and stuff. And they live kind of like that weird, like secluded life and shit like that. But anyways, one particular night they actually make a Senetanshi and shit like that. And this girl just happens to be running up there. She kind of escaped from the city and stuff. And they think that they conjured her up kind of thing, right? Well, anyways, they take her in and they start doing nasty shit to her, like having sex with her and just doing crazy shit and stuff. And
that sounds like Dead Girl.
Well, it's not like Dead Girl at all, actually.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though?
Totally, totally. I understand. But this girl is free. Like, she's basically free. Like, she... Yeah. you know, she's not tied up or anything like Dead Girl, but I don't really want to go any further with the plot because this is a really hard one, and you could probably talk about this movie fucking all night. My thoughts on this one is the most beautiful cinematography I've seen in a film in a long time. It's so well shot. The structure of the story is really cool how it's done. It does leave some things to the imagination to a point, I guess. I guess this kind of depends on how you take the film. The ending is very intriguing. It does get you thinking. There is some really fucking awesome twists and turns in this one that I really didn't see coming at all. I would highly, highly recommend this. I wish I had seen this movie in 2013 because it would have made my top 10 list fucking hands down. It's actually one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
What's the name again?
It's called Senatunchy. Just look on the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror Facebook page. I posted
a
picture of it.
Is that the one you put? I think I might have added that to my wish list. Already.
It's only a U.S. release, DVD release, but you have to import it if you want the Blu-ray.
So
yeah, I have the Blu-ray.
Does anybody remember that film called Hell? It was from like 2012 or something.
Hell? Is that the post-apocalyptic? The one
yeah,
with the
wasn't
guy
that
with
a film from Switzerland?
I don't know.
I have
no idea. But anyways, the movie, I could not recommend this enough. It's one that you really have to see for yourself. It's a hard movie to review because without giving spoilers, I give you that. If you once you guys see this movie, you'll totally understand why. But it's just so beautiful. The acting, the girl that plays, you know, the Senatunchy does a really good job, and she's mute. She doesn't talk throughout the whole movie. She's fucking beautiful. She does a really good job. She's very believable in her role. I think everybody in this movie does a really good job. Just all around brilliant. I love the structure of the film. I thought it was great. And the thing is, this movie runs just under 2 hours. It's about 118 minutes long. It does not fucking feel that long at all, which is such a good thing. It's such a bonus. You know, generally when you see a horror film that's running, you know, 2 hours, you're going, fuck, what the hell
subtitled?
Is this? For sure, yeah.
Man, you're giving this thing a lot of praise.
Absolutely fucking loved it. I watched this one night after work I popped in at 2 a.m. and I was like, you know, it's subtitled. I hope my eyes don't start burning. I'd fall asleep. Dude, this thing made me more. I was like sitting. I wasn't even sitting back in my couch. I was on the edge of my seat watching this movie, realizing I hadn't even looked at the time or checked the time. And I was like, fuck, this movie's like,
that's
I knew going in, it was 2 hours.
You ever notice so that's good. How you know you're watching like a great movie is when you don't even look at the time?
Yeah. And
which edition do you have? Do you have the Canadian, the Germany DVD Blu-ray release, or do you have the DVD digital copy one?
I have the Blu-ray DVD digital copy.
All right.
I was having a little bit of technical difficulties, so I was having trouble hearing certain things. But I believe you said that it was like the best film shot this year that you've seen.
Oh man, if we had a cinematography, I don't think we had a cinematography category in our
thing. I think we did.
Did we?
Oh,
I gave it to Stoker. That's why I was curious, because I was like, I wonder if it was better shot than Stoker. I need you to see Stoker so we can find this out.
Well, it's interesting that you say Stoker, because I don't know if you guys watch Horsball, you know, his award show that he does every year on his channel.
I did not.
The nominees for the best cinematography in a 2013 horror film were Stoker and Senatunchy and a couple other ones. And I think Senatunchy might have won. I can't remember. But Stoker may have won also. I can't remember. But anyways, the point is, if they're being nominated, they're definitely well shot. But yes. This movie is really, really well shot. And the Blu-ray looks so great. Like, honestly, dude, the mountains and like the way the overhead shots, and they did a really fucking good job with this, man. I can't praise it enough. I honestly don't want to overhype the film, but the thing is, though, it's just really worth watching. It's really worth picking up. You got to see this for yourself. Like I said, you know, it's a hard one to fully review because there's a lot of things in it that you don't want to say, and it's one that you might need to watch twice.
And,
I'm not going to lie.
That's when I was talking about Stoker. It was very similar. I didn't want to say, like, anything.
Yeah, this is one movie that I don't want to ruin anything. I just want you to get the basic premise of it. And, fuck, man, it's definitely worth it. I'm so glad that I got recommended this film. They're like, you have to check this out. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool.
As you was talking about it, I honestly kept thinking of Stoker. Like, because a lot of the things you said about why it was good, like, I also thought the same way about Stoker. I'm like super interested in this film now. I want to really get it soon.
Yeah, if I had to rate this one, I'd probably, man, I didn't really think about the rating, but it gets a really, really high one. I think I'd probably give it 9.5 out of 10. It's just really good. It's really well done. And, you know, like, it has all the things that I like in films. You know, it's got I love cinematography, man. Cinematography is one thing that just, for a film like this, if it was poorly shot, I think it would have hurt it big time because of the setting of it, you know? But it's just so fucking good.
One more time. How do you pronounce this?
I think it's pronounced Senatunchy.
Dude, I'm never talking about this film because I'm going to sound like an idiot.
I think it literally is, because when I'm watching the movie, and it's obviously subtitled, but they say the word Senatunchy and it comes out like that. So I think that's how it's pronounced. It's a long fucking word, but if you really look at it and then say it a couple times, I think it kind of makes sense. So
I'm pretty surprised that Switzerland hasn't done a horror film before.
Yeah, I mean, that was the exact thing that I thought too. Once I heard it, I was like, yeah, it's like the very first, you know, major horror film out of Switzerland. I imagine they've had films there that have just stuck there. No one knows about them, but yeah, this one we know about, right? And I think that's what it's more based on, is that it is the first major film to get out there and actually get like a real distribution deal. Because if we're buying it, if I'm sitting here talking about this and watching it in my house in Canada, that's, you know, that's something else. So
yeah, it must. I think, actually thinking back now, Hell might have been German.
Yeah, I think, you know what, come to think of it, I think Hell is German.
Okay.
So yeah.
So yeah, great pick of the week. I think you blew me and Jeremy's away.
Very oh nice. Yeah. Ranted about that for like 10 minutes, man.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I wish you guys have seen it so we could talk about it, but
I mean, well, it's $19 on eBay. I don't know.
I'll probably wait for the price to drop a bit.
I don't think it's going to drop, JP.
I think it's going to be one of these releases, man, that if you don't grab soon, it might just not be around anymore. I don't know. I don't know the company that well. It's like Invisible.
Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of scares me a little bit. And I will say it does come with a really, really nice slipcover. So, but yeah, anyways. Guys, I can't recommend it enough, and I'll leave it there.
All right, so we're going to continue with our discussion on House of the Devil.
Yes, House of the Devil.
House of the Devil. All right.
By Ty West.
Ty West. Should we talk about the story, or should we just hop right into the discussion?
What year is House of the Devil?
2011?
Really? No. Was that current?
No, House of the Devil came out in...
I was thinking 2009, 2008.
No, I don't think it's that old.
2009.
I think it's 2000. I was going to say, I think it's 2009, yeah. 2009.
It's old.
Okay. So, you know what? We'll just do it this way. Per IMDb, in the 1980s, college student Samantha... Hughes takes a strange babysitting job that coincides with a full lunar eclipse. She slowly realizes her clients harbor a terrifying secret. They plan to use her in a satanic ritual.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, you know, yeah, the story to this movie is very, very simple.
So good, though.
Very simple. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on this movie?
I could say I've taken my mom loves fucking horror movies too, and that ending of this movie was fucking creeped the hell out of her, which doesn't happen often. The ending of this movie is pretty fucking creepy.
I've always had problems with the very end.
Not like the very, very end, but like when they're starting to sacrifice her and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Like, honestly, my honest thoughts, like, I really enjoy that part, but I don't understand her choice in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, and I've never been able to understand why she makes that choice when she has the power not to make that choice. If you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if anyone out there is listening to this and haven't seen the movie, I don't want to like completely fucking ruin it. But
that's the thing about certain, like, I really don't like spoiling movies unless we're doing like a franchise show or something.
If you're looking for a bloody, gory movie, this one isn't for you. There's one kill in the entire movie.
So it's a damn good kill, though.
Yeah, it's a damn good kill. It's up there with Maniac's head explosion.
I wouldn't go that far, but
do you guys remember?
It's good.
When you first watched that, was that not really shocking though? Like, it kind of threw me off. I was like, wow.
Yeah,
that's just holy fuck! Like, wow. I really like the way that was done.
So, I guess that brings up a good point for me, actually. So, House of the Devil. I actually did see a bit of this a couple years ago. I never finished it. I got to the point right where she was, like, wandering around the house, pretty much. So, not too far into it. First of all, we got to say, this is a slow burn. It's definitely a slow burn.
Oh, yeah.
Which I like. I like that about this.
Slower
one.
Than this.
Huh?
I rewatched it again last night. I hadn't watched it in a couple years. And yeah, this movie really is the definition of slow burn.
It really is.
It's so slow. And I can understand people's opinions when they say they don't like the movie. I mean, it's totally respectable, because if you need more of, you know, more things going on and more action, maybe more kills, more whatever. But yeah, I can totally see where people are coming from with the slow burn, because this one is fucking slow. For a 95-minute movie? Yeah.
So this film, I didn't really know anything about it. I honestly, I've actually avoided any talk of this film, you know, telling what it's really about forever. You know, this, I went into it pretty much not knowing. So right away, I loved the setting. I loved how it was trying to be a throwback, you know, with the Walkman and shit. That's just cool to me. I like that stuff.
That actually, you know, I love the fucking music in the beginning of the film.
Yeah. Isn't and I love so the incorporation authentic? Of the Walkman as she's doing things. It like how the music's playing, like you're listening to it with her.
You know, mm-hmm. It got me thinking, actually, watching her with the Walkman. Remember when she's sitting on the steps there, I think, of the school or whatever?
Yeah.
And she gets up and she drops it. That looks so authentic. I don't know if she was meant to do that in the script or anything.
Oh, like it was like just one of those magic things. Like, it could have been one of those just magic things where it's like, you know what? You just kind of fucked up the scene, but I like it.
She was holding it, and she stands up and she drops it, and it shuffles down the steps, and she kind of picks it up and then walks on. And I think the way it looks, I don't think that was intended to happen, but they kept it in there because it looks so authentic. You know, it's just so real. So I think that's actually really cool. I just one thing I picked out in the film last night, and I was like, I don't think that was supposed to happen. But...
Okay, so back to what I was like kind of saying about the film. Okay, so I really like everything up until the point where it's like a satanic cult type thing. I honestly don't. It kind of like I was digging the film as I almost wanted it to be like a slasher or something. I don't know. It just seemed to have that vibe, and then it just...
And it didn't have enough characters to be a slasher.
I mean, that is a good point. But I understand where you're coming from, JP, because the atmosphere that's created by Ty West, it would be actually a really good atmosphere for a slasher. But unfortunately, yeah. there is no characters in this movie to slash up, though.
But the thing is, like, I wasn't expecting it to be like a slasher, like a Friday the 13th. I was expecting it to be more like in the lines of, like, something like that segment in Body Bags where it's kind of the killer and the girl. And they're, like, there's going, and maybe more people are introduced as she's, like, running and escaping and stuff like that. I wasn't expecting like a high body count slasher. I was expecting like just like these one, maybe like three or four kills total. Like maybe the family who had the house like to be killed off like somewhere long. I was expecting it to be like a chase thing more. And honestly, I liked everything up until I honestly gotta say I didn't really care for the satanic cult thingy thing, which I normally love cult stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly never had a problem with it because it does kind of make sense. I like how they tied in with the lunar eclipse and that they were at the spot where it was the most noticeable and the most, you know, visually the best in the world. So it kind of made sense that, you know, they threw in this angle with the satanic cult the sacrificial elements to the film. I think it really does work, but I mean, you know, that's just my thoughts.
I agree that it's more like... like all that was done well enough, but it almost just felt like I wanted it to be something else. Like, it's not, I'm not saying that that was like a bad choice or that it was, you know, done bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's,
yeah,
just, I didn't want it to be that.
I completely understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Because the way the film's set up, I was expecting and wanting something else. And that's just, you know, personal preference right there. It's not really a criticism of the film.
So this is the first time you've watched the movie straight through?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You wouldn't like Innkeepers then?
Innkeepers is very kind of similar in structure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. I really like the structure. Like, I liked following. I had a lot of fun following the girl through the house and just all the slow, creepy, like the doorbell rings and it's a pizza guy. Like, I liked all that stuff. I was having fun following her kind of snooping around the house. It really took me back to that feeling of maybe being at somebody's house for the first time and all of a sudden you're there by yourself and you're kind of just walking around, like looking at stuff. Like I liked all that. I don't know. I just was expecting and wanting something different.
Yeah, actually, speaking of that scene with the fucking pizza, it always bugged me. Every time I've watched this movie, it always bugs me every time. When she throws the money at the pizza delivery guy, who gets obviously revealed after.
Are you still about to say that the way she holds the box?
Fucking right. Every time that annoys the shit out of me.
Dude, I swear to God, I was like, oh, it's going to, the pizza's fucked. You just fucked
even
the pizza
if,
up.
Even if your mind is like somewhere else, man, you have to save your pie, man. You can't be doing that shit. It's going to fucking slide down. You're going to be holding this fucking pizza and it's all going to be in the top. It's just going to be one ball of pizza now.
And it's going to crumple down like a accordion. It's going to be gross.
It's funny.
Dude, I swear to God, I knew you was going to say that because I was like, I thought the same thing when I watched it. I was like, oh. But, you know, honestly, I got to say I'm not a huge fan of this film. And it's not necessarily anything that the film did wrong. It just, it wasn't for me. It wasn't what I wanted it to be. But I will say everything up into those points where you like find out it's like a cult and stuff and it's I like all those moments and that kill that you're talking about, man. I thought that's what set it up. I was like, this is going to be awesome. And like, cause I thought that kill was done so perfect. Cause it's at a weird time. The kill happens when like, it's not like you're not expecting it to happen. It's just, I don't know the exact words that I'm looking for, but it's kind of like a off paste kill or something. You know what I mean?
It almost seems like it's out of the blue, but you know, there is a lot of elements to this film. I like the way Ty West shot it, you know, shooting it on, you know, film. It has that film, that real natural film grain to it, you know, that throwback feel. The clothes and stuff are very authentic. Her pants just make me laugh. It's so funny.
Title sequence, man. The title sequence.
Yeah, the title sequence. There's a lot of good things. And you know, the more I watch the you know, I don't mind. You know, the movie overall, I used to like a lot more, but the very end of the film pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't make sense. Her decision doesn't even make sense because everybody in that situation, she has no God. I'm really pushing the fucking boundaries here, spoiling the shit out of this, but it doesn't make sense because if anybody's in that position, you know, you're not going to react like that. I mean, she had no reason to do what she did because otherwise she could have walked out of there. You know,
she lived from that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I just don't understand that decision in the writing to put that into the script. I think it kind of ruins the overall feel of the film as a whole. Cause it doesn't
make sense. West write this.
I actually 100% don't even know, but I'm going to say that maybe he does. Yeah, he does write it. Yeah, he definitely writes the movie. And you know, I think that was a really, really poor decision on his part. It really doesn't work at all. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I'm really kind of, like I said, I'm pushing the boundaries of spoiling the shit out of this, but,
I mean, does it almost ruin it?
It does. It does. And I remember the first time I watched this movie, I was like, wow. And then all of a sudden, what? You fucking serious?
Because an ending of a movie can ruin almost the whole experience. It does.
And you know, the thing is, because I found myself after, I remember watching this movie when it first came out, and thinking about the movie after, which is a kind of a good thing, but I kept thinking about how the ending kind of fucked everything up for me. You know, and that's very kind of poor. You don't want that reaction. You don't want to, that's you, something you don't want to take away from that experience, right? Mm-hmm. And I kept questioning it, going, why, like, I'm like, did I miss something? You know, and then the more times I've seen a movie, you know, like I said, this is the first time I've watched it in a couple of years, so, but I have seen the movie 4 or 5 times, and every time it's the same fucking reaction with me.
See, I think he shot it in the house really, really, really well, the way he shot it.
I totally agree.
Oh, yeah. The cinematography is great. He did a really good job in the movie, and I think the whole kind of experience is ruined by one poor decision in the screenplay. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the point of it at all. I mean, you could have ended.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just can't, like, shake the feeling that I wanted this to be something different. Like, I know you said, Jeremy, there wasn't enough people to, like, for it to be a slasher. And I'm not necessarily talking about a, you know, with a body count, but, like, a killer and a girl type of thing. And, you know, you can always add bodies, you know, a police car or, you know, that could be one or two.
Yeah, like, I've seen that shit too many times.
I know that we've seen it too many times, but honestly, dude, this, the other stuff isn't that original either. I mean, I've seen that a bunch of times, but it just seemed the film was set up so well to be a, like the type of film that I'm talking about. It had that feeling, and you can make it original by, you know, original ideas. But I like that set, the setup of it, of a more of a slasher. I don't know, man. I just like slashers, and I think because you don't see a lot of the throwback style slashers anymore, like The Sleeper comes to mind. But I just think that this one would have worked really, really well if they could have they just would have needed a creative killer, because really it's not about the kills in this film or anything. The one kill was powerful enough. It would have been about the character and the tension and the slow burn type of thing going on there. I really would have liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anything else?
No, I honestly don't
have much to say about this film.
Actually, I do want to say something. I forgot to mention one thing. The cast in the film is actually quite, you know, you got a lot of fucking Tom Noonan, for instance, who plays, you know, the guy that hires, you know, her to do the babysitting. Tom Noonan is so good in this movie.
Yeah.
With the little amount that you get to see him, but the way he's coming off, he's so fucking genuinely creepy but like kind of likable at the same time. It's like, it's really odd how he plays it off. I think the acting was just so well done. Dee Wallace is in it for a small part, and then Mary, what's her name, shit, I always forget her fucking name, but anyways, doesn't matter. But I really just wanted to talk about Tom Noonan, though. I thought he was just fantastic. You guys agree that he was really good in it?
Oh yeah, totally.
This film, to me, I don't know, man. I don't even know what I'm like, so confused with my thoughts right now. Like,
this real is a life? Hard
film to talk about for me.
But you can't agree that Tom Noonan was good, though, right?
Who's Tom Noonan?
The old guy.
The guy from Manhunter shit. And
yeah, yeah.
Like, a bunch of fuck.
I thought everybody was actually really good. Like, I did like everybody, and I liked all the shit where she's wandering around the house until, you know, the whole cult thing comes into play. Like, I really was into it.
I'm trying to think, what is the lady's name from The Devil's Reject? She's in this one too. The mom.
I don't know.
Fuck. It doesn't matter. Anyway, she's in it too. And, you know, briefly, but yeah, I don't know, man. I think it's like, it's not a bad film. And this is the one thing about Ty West movies that, you know, he's been critically acclaimed, or not acclaimed, but criticized for, is that he does have a really good 90% of a movie, and then the ending always shits the bed. You know, I can totally see where people are coming from. Like, I don't mind, like I said, the whole devil worship thing, but it's the very end of the movie that really fucking hurts it for me and really drops it down a lot of notches in my ratings for it too. But, you know, it does have a lot of good elements. You know, pretty decent music in the beginning. Very authentic looking for, you know, early 80s type film. I love the clothes. Her pants just cracked me up, like I said before.
It's just
hilarious, but it's very authentic. And I do praise Ty West for, you know, making the film actually feel very authentic, but it's just,
and,
you know, screenplay is a big fucking part of your movie too, man. And you got to have the right elements and don't confuse people with stupid fucking fairy endings like that.
Yeah. Also, another thing about my wishing it would have been a different movie, it didn't necessarily have to be a slasher either. I just was expecting something else. Like, I was expecting something more creepier, or like there could have been so many different ways you could have took this story with that setup, with the setup of this girl wants to, you know, is struggling in college, finds the you know, number, calls this people. They kind of lie to her a bit. That's creepy right away, you know. And it just seems like there could have been something more original and dark, like hiding in that house. Like, it just, to me, I just wanted something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, man. I mean,
can you guys kind of understand where I'm coming from? Like, I don't know, man.
I literally just said I know exactly where you're coming from. Like, I mean, I've thought of this movie in so many different ways, and I understand a lot of people's opinions and thoughts on it, and it makes a lot of sense, you know? I mean,
I feel like I'm being a negative Nancy.
It's not my favorite film, but, you know,
I feel like I'm complaining and bitching too much. I don't know.
It's fine. You know, it's just being honest.
You are. Don't say anything.
My mood swings is me bitching constantly. That's all.
Yeah, but that's like a fun bitching. To me, it just feels like I'm putting down something, and I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just like, I guess it just comes down to, I wanted something else.
It's not like you didn't mention the things that you did like. You know, there is things that you like, and maybe there's just more things that you dislike. So it's not a big deal.
I'll be honest, dude. By the time it started getting to the cult stuff, I kind of fell out of it a bit. That's why I didn't comment much on the ending and stuff, because I honestly wasn't engaged anymore.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks, dude. It really does. Cause okay. I wanted to like that film a lot.
Okay. So Jeremy, what do you rate this film?
I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
JP?
6.
Yeah, I give it 6.5. So very much in the same kind of ballpark. I give it a lot of props for like the authenticity of the film. It just looks and feels like it should have been in that time, which is a big deal for me. So, I mean, you know,
I feel okay. I gave a piss poor review, man. I don't know, man, dude. It's just like, it feels like I want to like this film for some reason, man. I don't know what it is. Because it starts off, it's like the film I should like. It's like that throwback thing that I'm always saying I wish people would do. And like, it's just, I'm like mad at myself for not liking it.
You know what,
I
man?
Mean, we've all
had these experiences where we wanted to like something more than we didn't.
Bloody Homecoming.
You basically have to accept the fact that we're not going to like everything that we think we're going to like, and maybe vice versa. You know, maybe you're like, why do I even like this movie? You know, you know, who knows? It works either way, right? And I think this is a good movie because it's so split. I think there's a lot of people that either just, they really like this movie or they really don't.
Yeah, you know? and it's a thing where I do like the movie, and I do appreciate the stuff that I like. I really like, you know what I mean? So I have to give it above average just based on that alone, because like, I'll watch the first, you know, half hour of the movie and really be into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I feel all that. Right.
So that is our discussion on. Wait, sorry, JP.
I was just going to say, I might be giving away 2 copies of House of the Devil. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm keeping a copy because, you know.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening to episode number 9, the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast. I am your host, NESRuler22. You can follow me on my channel at youtube.com/NESRuler22. Follow my co-host, JP, a.k.a. the man who hates Pee Wee Herman, at youtube.com/DoubleShotJ. And you can follow the man himself, Mood616, over at his channel that you're on right now, youtube.com/Mood616. So, of course, next week I'm having a mental block of what film we're going to discuss, but...
You can actually... It's related to the top 5 ghost films of all time.
Okay.
So, yes.
I know what I'm not going to say.
Okay, I remember now. I remember now. It starts with an E, right?
Yep.
Okay, okay. So once again, thanks everybody listening to the 9th episode of 22 Shots and Boots and Horror. Everyone enjoy their Super Bowl if you watch it, and we should talk to you guys.
What's your guys' picks?
Oh man, are we really gonna do this?
Seattle.
Denver all day. And also be sure to check out the devilseyes.com.
Yes, devilseyes.com. Thank you guys for hosting our podcast every single week. Yeah, we all appreciate that one. So once again, guys, thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again next Monday. So peace.